Oh man, you got. Am I being taped? This is on tape. This is Dallas speaking. All I have to say is, everybody, be strong. Keep on keeping on. Don't worry. Don't let them push you down, man. Just keep on. Say whatever you have. Live the way you want to live. All right. Don't hurt nobody, and be good.
Everything you do today, tomorrow will be yesterday.
A good Negro.
I'm a good Negro.
I see.
And Chris, who is an evil white man,
who is the devil in religion,
who is the devil,
who is in league.
Basically, he was devil.
Chris,
a pawn of Satan. Chris, a pawn of Satan.
What will he start down with, dark man? Forever will his guide you.
Thank you. tuned to listener-sponsored radio. WBAI. It's time.
Night shift. Yeah.
Night shift.
It only happens once a week. It only happens here.
Night shift.
It's invisible.
Night shift.
But you can feel it.
Night shift.
There's only one thing you need to remember.
Night shift.
There's only one thing.
Night shift.
You have to keep in mind.
Night shift.
Night shift.
Sometimes I'm happy.
For professional use only.
Night shift.
My disposition.
Night shift.
Depends on you. Sometimes I'm happy.
Night shift.
Sometimes I'm blue.
Mondays.
My disposition.
Midnight.
Depends on you.
Night shift.
During the shift.
Night shift.
From night.
Night shift.
Today.
Night shift.
It's invisible.
Night shift.
But you can feel it.
Night shift.
You will be absorbed.
Mondays. Midnight.
Sometimes I'm happy, sometimes I'm blue. My disposition depends on you. Sometimes I'm happy.
I love
sometimes I'm blue. My disposition depends on you.
Night shift.
Where life is like science fiction.
Night shift.
Night shift.
FM. And the name of the show is
Night Shift. It's my favorite show.
So I'm here, joined in the studio by the infamous Byron Saunders.
Ah, it's good to be with you again.
Yes, Byron Saunders. Are you the legend they say you are, Byron?
Yeah, most of the time.
Most of the time.
Yes.
All right, well, sitting next to you is an even more special guest.
Oh,
extra special guest star. Now, she outed herself, but she's still sort of the mystery guest. I still see her as a mystery guest. She's still a mystery to me.
Yes.
Hello, mystery guest.
Hello.
How are you?
Living the dream.
Are you living the dream? Is this the dream right now?
Clearly.
Did you take the red pill or the blue pill?
Apparently the blue.
I see. Oh, really? The book is... Are you? Is the book getting to you?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought like the book was getting to you.
Oh, no.
No, not yet.
Not at all.
Really? You're unfazed. All right, thus far. Well, we're supposed to have an interview with an author named Ron Sturgeon this morning, and I haven't been able to get hold of him yet, so I hope it happens. I have excerpts from his book. He's written a book called Men Are Pigs, and that's a good thing. And he posits a number of theories, and he has a number of philosophies, and he breaks things down into quite a number of, this is the way it is. And he's going to be here. He's supposed to be here live, and we're going to take calls with him. And, Mr. Guest, I see you perusing it. Did you look through the table of contents? Did that strike you at all? Anything jump out at you?
Yeah.
Sure. Well, let's hear it. Tell me what jumped out at you, just to whet the appetite, as it were, for our listeners.
Well, do you want to at least... I'm giving a table of contents for a book you haven't even talked about. Shouldn't you give it some...
A title? I just did. Men Are Pigs.
And that's a good thing.
And that's a good thing.
That's
the title
subtitle
of the book, and that's the subtitle, and the author is Ron Sturgeon, who's supposed to be here. So I've set everybody up.
All right.
Table of contents. Men Are Pigs.
Men Are Pigs.
And that's a good thing.
Apparently. Well, we have 12 chapters of testosterone goodness.
Testosterone, is that your own...
That should be the word for the day for that
testosterone
goodness.
It's the new millennium version of tenderoni, exactly. For those of you that go back to new edition days.
I knew you could come up with a word. I am so proud of you.
Yeah, she's a wordsmith.
Yes.
I am. There's some chapters in here that make you want to, cuddle up to your favorite chauvinist and give it a perusal.
Okay.
Pretty girl syndrome.
I'm with the pretty girl syndrome. I'm with that.
Yeah, who isn't?
I'm with that. I understand it.
The Holy Grail, 27 traits that indicate your girl really needs sex.
Is that chapter 4?
That is chapter 5.
Oh, chapter 5. That's what he calls the 20% woman.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And just so you know, we're offering this book as a premium. I put together a whole collection of DGM. She's going to run this down because you're going to want this. You're going to just, because it's a combo thing. Okay, I put together a whole DGM to go with the book for like what you would listen to as you listen to this book. And hopefully Ron Sturgeon will be here. I'll play some excerpts of him. And it's a DGM collection. The whole thing, the book, Men Are Pigs, with the DGM is $100.
Whoa, wait a minute.
$100.
Stop the presses, Louise.
That's right.
$100, Mike?
That's correct, yes.
That's the premium.
That's the premium. The book and the CD. Now, if you just want the CD, it's all the music you've been hearing from this compilation, it's only $35. And that's called Sexy DGM Spring 2013.
Okay.
That's all you have to do. And you know the number, right? Byron, do you know the number, the pledge line number?
212-209-2950. Now, how else... Yes,
you're psychic.
I am very
psychic.
You
can also go on the website. The website, the premium is right up there. The premium's up there on
the website.
And it's
going to tell you the same thing?
It's going to tell you what it is.
Oh, okay.
It's tell you about the book, the whole thing.
I'm impressed.
Yes, and if you go to the Night Shift Facebook page, you'll see the cover. I did some cover art for it. Yes, Sexy DGM cover art, Facebook.
I remember seeing something like that.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. All right, now, here's the deal, okay?
Deal me in.
Mr. Guest is going to continue going down the table of contents. I'm with you,
right.
Mr. Guest.
Wow, those some explosive table of contents.
No, she didn't even get started.
My goodness, go ahead.
Well, if you would like, I've been sort of going out of order, but I'll...
Oh, that's fine. You can go out of order. I don't care.
Oh, okay. This one sounds very interesting. Navigating the Menopause Minefield.
Now that is something for the future.
Indeed.
I'm with you.
How to keep them forever.
Is this for men or for women? Or both?
I'm not sure. He doesn't break that one down. But I thought the answer was duct tape.
Stop. He may enlighten us more.
I'm sure. He might explain how to do it legally.
How to do it without
getting
caught. With
the duct tape.
Okay.
Right. You know, if you're into that sort of thing.
Men are pigs. All right, so go ahead. Finish. And first of all, just say this about Ron Sturton. He is a he's a writer. He's a successful businessman.
Oh, okay.
That's who
what
he is.
Businesses he doing?
Well, various businesses.
He's an entrepreneur.
And he decided to write this book because, you know, he knows a lot of people and he's heard a lot of things and he thinks he's got it right. He's figured it out and he's going to impart it to us. And the book is doing very well.
Okay.
I just want you to know. So.
Alright.
And then we have some DGM there. I mean, some DGM. We have
but
some
it's a great
like science fiction that will pepper the show with and throughout. So you'll enjoy the next 2.5 hours of Night Shift, but you should pledge.
So there are two levels.
212-209-2950. There are two levels. You can get the book and the CD for $100.
$100.
Men are pigs.
Yes.
And the music to go with it.
I think it's a great deal.
Or is this one is for mystery.
Yes, or you can
you can just get the CD, which is what you're listening to now.
Yes,
because
DGM.
First of all, DGM stands for damn good music.
How many
damn
tracks
good music?
This are we talking about?
Over 50 tracks.
My goodness,
over 50 tracks. Nearly 4 hours of music.
Oh yes,
you
this
can
is
finish
well.
You can finish this in 4 hours. Easy.
Absolutely.
Yes. So you just absorb it. Men are pigs, and that's a good thing. I have a whole bio on Ron Sturgeon here, which the mystery guest will read to us. But finish the table of contents, mystery guest, please.
Okay. I'll take it from the top, you know, so that I make sure that we cover.
Please.
Every angle.
Every angle, every position.
As it were.
Chapter 1, how to find the right person.
Chapter 1.
How to find the right person.
Are you with that? I mean,
finding the right person?
Yes.
No. No, I've pretty much given up. I'm good.
There's no right person?
No. I'm sure there is. I've just stopped looking. I'm just going to get a cat and a Kindle and call it a day.
Stop. Okay.
Chapter 2, how to determine who's not wrong.
Hmm.
Which is an interesting way of framing that.
How to determine who's not wrong. Brian?
Right.
Did you write that down?
No.
He's ruminating.
This is one of those moments I'm not writing the show.
Write that down, Byron. Write that down.
Hashtag how to determine.
Right. I got technology working for me now.
Not wrong.
Yes.
It's sort of, you know, like Monty Python. Well, that's right out. All right. You know what? What you just said now, you said how to find the right person. Okay,
yes.
I'm just going to play an excerpt for you, and then I want you to continue.
See, that's the Sword Fight of the Year award.
What's the Sword Fight of the Year?
How to find the right person.
You think so?
Yeah. It's a game right now.
How to find the right person.
When is it not?
I don't know. I'm trying to figure that one.
Is that...
This could be for both the way we're used to doing courtship and arranged marriages as well. Because they actually make it more, people who do that in their culture, that's way more of a science, of a craft.
Well, I'm going to play an excerpt so you just get to hear from the horse's mouth.
Okay.
Right, and you're tuned to listener sponsored radio, WBAI 99.5 FM. The name of the show,
Night Shift.
Everybody agreed, men and women, that they waited way too long to get a divorce. When you're dating somebody and it's pretty clear that they're wrong, the faster you can get away, the better. That seemed to be the moral to the story from people I talked to over and over. More often than not, though, we try to figure out who's right or who's wrong And it makes sense to try to figure out who's wrong almost immediately. And, of course, we do that even before we have a date in a lot of cases. But we don't know who's right. You're never going to determine who's right early on. So we really need to be deciding who's not wrong. And that earns somebody a few more dates. And after some number of dates, it's they might be right. Doesn't mean they're right. It means they could be right.
Any thoughts there, Mr. Gibbs?
I hear a lot of circular talk. I haven't heard some content.
Okay, all right. Let me give you something else.
Well, he's laying his groundwork.
He's laying the groundwork. That's the first, to be fair.
I would like to...
You want
to
hear a little meat?
I would like to hear meat. Yeah, sure. If that's what we're doing with it.
All right.
Chapter one is about how to find, how to meet the right person. This is really challenging. Everybody I talked to had a lot of concerns about where and how do we meet people. You know, and I think what's really funny is everybody said they could never meet someone in a bar. And yet most of the time I was in a bar talking to them. They considered themselves to be a catch. I considered myself to be a catch. People go to bars. And so I don't think there's anything wrong with hoping that we can meet somebody in a bar. I talked to lots of people that had used internet dating successfully and found a lot of people that had actually met somebody and married somebody on an internet dating site. So there's no doubt that internet dating is here to stay, and it's a viable choice. And by the way, if you're waiting to meet somebody at work, at church, at the grocery store, or in a bar, you're not going to see very many people. You're just not going to see very many people that are potential candidates. Why not open up your expectations to hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of people on the internet? Yep, you're going to meet some wackos. There's no doubt about it. You're going to meet some nutcake, crazy people. You just got to weed through them to find the right person. But it's not any different than if you're looking for them in grocery stores. You're going to find nutcakes in grocery stores too. At least the funnel is bigger at the top and you have more people to select from.
Do you believe in internet dating? Too middle of the road for you?
I'm not sure I have a descriptive phrase to call to mind.
I understand. Well, you need to see him.
I'm sure I do.
You do. And we're going to take calls. If he's here live, we're going to take calls. Somebody's calling now. Is this Chris? Hello, you're in the air.
Hey, guys.
Hey, who's this?
Hi, this is Austin from Jersey.
Austin. I hope you pledged, Austin. I hope you pledged. You're calling up. I hope you pledged.
I always pledge, man. I pledge allegiance to the DEI of America.
No. You're going to call in and pledge and put some money on the barrel, as it were.
212-209-2950.
That's right. You can just get the move. If you don't have a lot of money, just get this. I will email it to you. That's all I do it now.
I'll give you some of a lot of my money. How's that?
How about some? Yes. $35 is good. 212-209-2950.
May I comment on the issues going on here?
Yes.
Okay, as far as church?
Yes.
You know, I think it's funny because in church you find these different archetypes of people. You find some people who are like true believer, really out there, kind of totally hook, line, and sinker. You got people who are there for like political reasons. Maybe they just came into the country and they're looking to hook up to find someone to help them or whatever.
That's a political reason?
Well, political in the sense of, you know, and political with a capital P or a small P, either in the sense of trying to find where they can, hook up with people to help them to maneuver in the system or whatever.
So politics meaning the people, the body.
Right.
I'm with you.
You got people there who are, that kind of know that the preacher's full of something, but they're there to try and find people who are going to hook up. Because in church, I haven't been in church in a long time because it's not my scene, but you will find people coming from very different places. You know, the true believers, the people who are there, kind of wink, wink, nod, nod, and the people who are, they have different agendas going in there. You have to try and find out where the person's coming from, you know?
All right, now what is your comment? Just that... You know,
that wasn't a comment.
Oh, that was your comment. All right, I wasn't sure because saying, you know,
damn.
What are you saying? What do you say?
Hey, what more do you want?
No, all right, I'm with you, okay?
Austin, I got it.
I'm with you. So
I got it.
Mr. Guest?
Yes?
Do you have any thoughts on the archetypes that you meet at church?
Who's the Michigan?
No, not now.
No, you just gave your opinion.
Don't you identify who you are, you call. So you're the caller.
Yes,
Mystery
okay,
guest.
Go ahead, Michigan.
I don't see how church is any different from any other place.
Or the grocery store.
Grocery store,
there
from work.
There are nutcakes.
Absolutely. You know, liberally distributed throughout.
Mm.
Well, but it's different than that. It pretends,
you're saying? Flush.
It pretends to be a filter of some sort, and you at least have a sense of that people go there under some kind of pretense, where it's not that completely random.
You mean under a spiritual pretense?
Or others.
Or others. And Byron, what's your thought? Because you go to church every Sunday. Talk to me. Are you there? Are you picking up chicks at church?
Chicks at church. No, I'll tell you... my place is usually down front, about third row, in what you can say consider the box seats, the Amen corner.
Mm. You're
and
in the
so
Amen
I am,
corner.
I'm sitting right up front.
I understand.
In the box seats.
But your arm's too short.
Oh, much too
to
short.
To box.
Much
with
too
God,
short.
With God, Byron. Okay,
so I don't go there for that particular experience.
I'm sure the ladies are disappointed.
Yes, they are, Byron.
But
they
that's
see
okay.
You there, they're like... When's that suave gentleman going to come over in?
Because from my recollection, women outnumber men.
They do indeed in the church.
In church. Why they think they're going to find one there is beyond me. The numbers are not in their favor.
No, they're not. But
the
experience,
right
if you want to find that there it is there. Because that's...
Love is there in the
love
church.
Love is always there in the church. That's the premise that it runs off of.
Well, that's the hope we're running with, is it?
And the hope, sometimes the hope of that as well. It's a good place to have all that happen. But in essence, that's why people go. But the word is very good.
That's why they buy a lottery ticket.
Yes, that's true, too.
It's true.
And a lot of them buy lottery tickets.
Hope is true.
I know the market.
Okay.
Hello, who's this?
Okay.
This is Tony.
Hey, Tony.
Tony, do you believe in internet dating? Are you dating on the internet?
Well, you know what? I haven't done internet dating, but I'll say this so much about church. A lot of people in church wear masks. I actually have a restraining order against someone who attends my church.
The church? Yeah,
that says it all right there.
A lot of masks. They keep the mask on effectively in church.
They keep the mask on during mass? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm Catholic, so I do go to mass.
Okay.
But I'm just saying they do keep the mask on more
during mass
effectively. Yeah, no, I'm saying because they're church folk, you deal with them, you're not seeing the real person. It takes a while
to get to know.
Because it's like the guy he assaulted me, viciously assaulted me. And that's why I have restraining against this crazy behind. But
okay, Tony, I got a question for you. Okay. If.
Go ahead, Bob.
It's okay. Because you're indulging a lot of anxiety for yourself and going...
Indulging a lot of anxiety for yourself.
Yeah, because I think your life is so much more profound to pursue without having to engage trying to fix something that is broken.
Byron, what the...
Because she's got a beautiful life ahead of her.
Yeah, but how was that in question?
Because that's not a question. It's about taking a choice to start dealing with that versus people want to engage in confrontation and sword fight each other.
Byron, what are you running for office? I'll just vote for you now.
You know what I'm saying? That's the truth.
What?
I remember you said Byron could be my scary date. I have to go on a scary date.
You need to go on a date with Byron. Byron, we need to bring...
Chaperone.
heavily chaperoned.
Yeah,
like armed guard. Who else is called? Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, Michael and gang. This is Tony calling from Brooklyn. How you
doing? Yeah,
Tony.
Tony,
we got two Tonys on the air.
Hey, Tony.
One more. We have
time. You're outnumbering mics.
That's right.
I'm with you.
Yeah. I'm calling to weigh in. I just ended, maybe about a year ago, I ended a 10-year-long on-again, off-again relationship with someone who was just so wrong.
Right.
But the sex was phenomenal.
Oh, it was? It was that good?
Listen, why do you think men date crazy women? That's
You're right. Crazy women, there's
some truth to that.
Okay.
There's some truth to the rumor that sugar is sweet.
Tony from Brooklyn.
Right. Yeah.
Question for you.
I'm listening.
I got a question for you. Yeah. Which, after the experience of,
right.
of a woman that you've had relationships with.
10-year crazy affair.
That's right. Of the women that you find most willing to go into your sunset years, what type of woman are you looking for when you get to be an older man?
You know, I've done some self-inspection, and that's a great
self-inspection.
Question.
Self-inspection?
Yeah.
Self-inspection. Is that with a tweezer?
internal.
Okay.
With the help of the NSA.
Yeah. Yeah.
Self-inspection.
But to answer your question, yeah. I want someone who is first and foremost, above everything else, a kind person.
You know, that lets me out.
Kind is nice. Considerate is even better.
Mm.
And just someone who respects my being. Okay. You know, the space that I occupy.
Mm.
It's not all about her or how I make her look or the things I can do for her, and vice versa. It's not all about her and how she looks with me and how she makes me, you know, the status that she gives me.
So you want to share some equal time?
Yeah, some equal time. Just you know, just finding another person to acknowledge your presence in the universe is a very difficult thing to do.
These days, you kind of need a contract for that. I don't know. You ready to just give up 50-50 and walk that line?
Give up 50-50 and walk that line.
I don't know what that means.
Well, the option, okay, to answer that.
Dialogue from the 40s.
The choice is, if you don't do it, you'd be relegated to a life of loneliness.
But, now you see, I have to say, can I just say that there is a difference between being alone and being lonely?
There is.
Just all I want to say. So, you, Byron, you have all these weird questions.
Yeah.
Mr. Guest, do you want to read some more of the table of contents? Because you were getting somewhere.
Was I?
Yes.
Well,
this is what I call men are pigs music.
I believe we had left off with chapter 2, which was how to determine who's not wrong.
Mm.
Chapter 3 was pretty girl syndrome. Chapter 4, and we're hopping right to it now, is sex.
Amen.
That's chapter what?
That's chapter 4.
Chapter 4, wait, let me see if I have some chapter 4. I have chapter 4. You want to hear chapter 4?
Why not?
I have chapter 4 right here.
I lived chapter 4.
Stop.
I found chapter 4.
Okay, I'm going to go to chapter, I'm skipping right over chapter 3 or whatever it was I had here. All right, you ready?
Go for it.
This is Ron Sturgeon.
Chapter 4, people.
Was supposed to be here live.
Yes, we have to go by round by round.
Did he know which time zone? Not trying to be funny.
No, it was 11, his time zone. He's in Pacific. Central.
Oh, yeah, about to say.
Central.
That makes it 9 o'clock. Oh, no, 8 o'clock.
XXX. Chapter 4. One of the reasons men that I found in long relationships that they weren't as interested in sex is because they said their wife had let themselves go. Now, I know that sounds really piggish, and we all know it's a double standard. But women do tend to let themselves go. It's just the truth. Men do as well, and it's very unfortunate. And neither party should let themselves go. But we've got to work to keep each other stimulated, and men are more visually stimulated than women. So a woman's appearance is more important to a man than a man's appearance is to a woman. And I don't think that surprises anyone.
Mr. Guest, do you take umbrage to this concept?
Are you sensing umbrage?
I sensed
a disturbance in the force?
I sensed a certain amount of umbrage from your expression. You showed me an expression of umbrage. So do you feel that because men are more visual than women, that it's more on the woman?
Oh, yeah, we don't care at all, do we?
Well, listen.
That's why Brad Pitt don't make no movies. That's why Vin Diesel don't make no movies. Oh, Denzel's not popular. No, women don't care at all what a man looks like. Please get that hump on your back and your knuckles drag it on the ground. Oh, my word, I'm warm.
You're tuned to listen to Sponsored Radio, WBAI 99.5 FM. We're listening to excerpts from a book called Men Are Pigs, and That's a Good Thing, written by Ron Sturgeon. For $100 pledge, you can get the book plus the CD of music to go along to listen. Now you're going to tell me that this isn't the perfect music to discuss the piggish views or behavior of the man or the author. So you heartily disagree. You don't think that it's true that statistically women are more forgiving of a man's appearance.
We are, to our detriment.
And do you think then, acknowledging that it is because men are more visual, and i.e. women should wear a burqa so they don't get attacked?
Whoa, we're making huge leaps in logic.
Well, I'm just saying, there are laws in certain countries where the women have to be covered up because they would be too attractive to the men. So
right,
they must
because
cover
we're responsible because, for men's behavior.
Men are visual creatures.
And not responsible for their actions.
Well, we're visual.
What does that have to do?
It means that we can't help it. We're just visual. We're visual like that.
Well, if the problem is that you're visual and you can't help yourself, perhaps you should wear a blindfold and I can wear whatever the hell I want. Mm.
Any thoughts on what he's positing? Do you agree?
Can I say something?
Yeah, please.
I think fellas' behavior is determined by the social historical contract. I think in cases where women are oppressed, yeah, they're not going to be too interested in the man's looks because, and no fault of their own, they're looking to hook up with a guy for security in societies where they're like second-class citizens. So that's not necessarily about our behavior as much as that's a political historical construct put on us.
I'll buy that.
Of course you will.
Why not?
Byron, did you want to weigh in?
Yeah. There are all elements to one's lifestyle.
Hold on.
Let me just say it.
Right, please.
There are all elements to a lifestyle that you choose. You know, whether you choose to be on in one that most people would condemn or be one that's very wholesome and nurturing, just because it's you. You need both sides. Go for it. But
in some places, it's not so easy to choose.
Yes.
It depends on where you happen to be.
Yes.
You can get your head chopped off, literally.
Yeah, this is Tony. Can I weigh in with something?
Go ahead, Tony.
You know, as I listen to it, it's to me, I take umbrage because relationships can be looked at from two different perspectives. I think the writer of the book is looking at a perspective as an outsider. Notice he doesn't say, I am a pig, speaking for himself, but he paints men with this broad brush.
Oh, yes, he does.
Yeah, but you got to remember, he's trying to sell books here, baby. Yeah,
I appreciate that, but I look at it from the perspective of my own experience in a relationship with a woman and how we interacted, the dynamics of our interaction. And I like to say that I've learned in a relationship, you pretty much get what you give. And if you don't, if you find yourself in a position where you're not getting what you're given, then maybe you need to bail.
Oh, can we put that on a t-shirt, please?
You have my... Yes, Miss Street Gang. Most definitely.
I want to go back and talk about the author's premise a little bit about, you know, women and men letting themselves go, but particularly women. You know, I think it's a little difficult to have a woman bear your babies and then expect her to look like she did when you met her in her 20s. Seriously? You know, to have your body come back to, you know, factory settings.
Right.
You know?
But how many people do you know
challenging.
Of that that stay in there that we don't. We hear the people that bail, but we don't hear of the men that stay in there with the women, because that doesn't make news.
Of course, no, so, of course, you know, not.
Yeah. But I think that might be a little skewed. It's much more juicy to talk about the dude that booked because he doesn't like the way his woman looks after birth, but we don't hear about the dudes that stay in there, you know? So we don't know. We can't know exactly what the stats are in all of this.
True.
Know?
Takes two to tango, partner.
Also, just like, you know, what we're attracted to, the person that you want to have your baby isn't necessarily the person that you want to get in bed with. That goes for men and women. And that's something we're finding out now. What, you know, the person that you want to provide stability for you isn't necessarily the person that turns you on.
And now we're talking big love.
Wow, yeah. Like who said that mankind had to be monogamous? Where did that come from?
People that were concerned about wealth and power and the succession of the family line through male lineage and not female.
And for tax purposes.
And for tax purposes. You know, mama's baby, papa's maybe. You don't have to worry about the succession of the line when it comes to women, so I don't understand why society isn't matriarchal, but, you know, that's just me.
Ooh. There was an article in today's MSN News Hotline, A-N-A-O-L Hotline.
Mm-hmm.
There are more in white. There are more white deaths than births. As happening right now.
I mean, and what's your life. Premise with that?
Well, because the idea of creating a society, not stopping it. You want to stop the vote. You want to stop this. You want to stop that. But in essence, having children is probably what mankind's initial purpose was. In China, they restricted. They had how many billions of people?
Yeah, but what's your point? What's your point?
Well, the point is that you create and restrict your social patterns so that you can control your populations. I mean, there's a whole science to all of that.
Well, okay, but where did that come from, Byron? What are you tying this into?
I've lost the point.
You've lost your point. Yeah. I like that you admit that, Byron. That's okay. It's okay. I'm with that, though.
Well, they commit genocide against a female infant.
That's definitely an old story that's been going on for centuries. Imagine, though, if so many females have been killed in so many countries and so many cultures do not value the female life. Imagine if they had lived and how women would outnumber men now and what kind of a world would we have?
Well, women do outnumber men.
They do now, even though they've been killed for centuries.
Oh, well, still they face.
That's what I'm saying. Imagine if it was the ratio that quote-unquote was meant to be.
So Mike is saying, even though it was a bad thing, it might have led to something about stabilizing the ratio, even...
I didn't even go that far. All I was saying is that I'm curious as to what kind of world it would be if the amount of women that should have been born were born. And they clearly, because more women are born than men, you know, worldwide, just with the species, but they're killed. Okay, so clearly in the grand design, women were supposed to dominate. Even though men are the dominant in most cultures, but clearly women were meant to. And I'm just saying, what kind of world will we live in then?
I disagree slightly.
Tell me the slight disagreement. When I say dominant, I don't mean that they have to be running things, but they're just sort of
right.
More
no. You seem to think that somehow had there not been the influence of murder, that we'd be running at 60-70%. And human biology does not work that way.
What do you mean?
That ratio would not exist.
What ratio would not exist?
That women would not vastly outnumber men.
I don't know how vast it would be. I'm just wondering how many.
We're running at about 52%.
Right now.
Right.
Right now. And I'm saying there's at least another 10%. Or probably more. But let's say optimistically, there's at least a 10% that was cut off by being killed at birth.
Well, I'm not a geneticist or a biologist, but we don't compensate in that way. I mean,
it's not a question of compensating. It's just a question of it's not that we're compensating. I'm just saying if we were lived in a society where, okay, let's say you have five children, right? Mm-hmm. Or you had five pregnancies, mm-hmm. and three of them were women. So you killed the three female children and waited for the two boys to be born, mm-hmm. okay? What if those three women had lived,
right.
okay? And if, on a, on an exponential rate, if we weren't killing these female children, these female infants, women clearly would outnumber men just because of the ratio of birth. That's all I'm saying.
Mike, I think you're saying it might be that much more great little tipping point in either consciousness or...
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what the result would be. I'm just saying.
That's just an numeric numbers thing. Sometimes having that much more... percentage could have a tipping point.
Well, there's my storyline. I'm
just
saying.
About people that could change consciousness in some way.
You see, you're extrapolating. I don't know what would happen. Well, the mystery guest is arguing the fact that women would outnumber men to a greater ratio.
No, I'm arguing actually not.
Okay, what
because
do you
it feels that your premise is that if we had not altered our pattern, that women would be.
Outnumbering men more.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying.
I disagree with you totally.
And, okay, why do you disagree?
Why?
Because human biology doesn't work that way. If you look at us historically, okay, fine, before they were killing women, when were we ever running at 60-70% ratio toward men? That's not how we...
I'm saying, how do you know what the ratio was then? I mean,
There's a lot of variables, yes.
There are a lot of variables there.
Yes, there are. There's disease, there's war, there are many things that...
Yeah, but I'm especially in cultures that did a lot of birthing, let's just say.
You know, but you also have to look at there are the numbers worldwide, and then there are numbers geographically.
Definitely.
China is way, way out of whack because of their social engineering, because of their interference in normal human birth patterns.
I agree. And all I'm saying is if each culture had not altered their birth patterns, what would the results have been on those cultures? That's really what I'm saying.
It would
that's
have to
my
be
question.
Different by definition.
That's what I'm saying. That's my question. That's the theory I'm positing for my sci-fi series.
Now, would it be huge numbers and difference? They may or may not be significant.
Be certain...
But it still might cause a social change via that.
Well, especially in certain cultures.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting because I remember I interviewed this director who did a Japanese anime that was very popular at the time. And I asked him, I said, you know, why is it that, you know, so much Japanese science fiction has these female leads, these female characters that are, you know, doing this, kicking ass, and, you know, all these Japanese animation. He says, because women occupy such a low place in society in Japan, that to see them in that situation, that makes it science fiction.
That's just what I thought was a compensatory mechanism. They're saying, okay, these people...
Exactly.
It's like having commercials where they put like the heroic black person. You rarely see a commercial today. We see a black person looking dumb or whatever because we can't go there, and it's almost like it's almost patronizing in the sense of trying to be PC. So they're doing that to compensate.
Mr. Guest.
Apparently, only cartoon women can kick ass.
This is in Japan.
In Japan.
The phone number here is 212-209-2950. We've been discussing some of the topics in the book, Men Are Pigs, and that's a good thing. For a $100 pledge, you can get this music, which will allow you to discuss the book with your friends, and you can pretend to do night shift at home. $100 pledge, 212-209.
Wow.
Yeah,
you're with that. There's popcorn corn with this,
too.
I want the kettle corn selection.
You're with it.
Yes.
212-209-2950, $100 pledge.
I don't recommend it unsupervised. I really don't.
Well, you know, you got to have some parameters. We'll let the mystery set those. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello.
Yes.
Do you not think we're stuck in the muck? I mean, patriarchy always trumps everything. You know, things are going along, and then a guy comes and chops. You know, men use their physical might. You don't agree that like, that's, you know, part of the problem is patriarchy.
Part of the problem?
Well, it's a huge problem.
Clearly,
who's this pig guy? He's got to come on here. Where is this guy?
Where is the pig guy?
Bring on the pig guy.
I'm ready for him.
I want to see this guy. He better have a good defense.
This is a roasting.
I mean, it's okay for men to be. What does that mean? That's the way it is. Yeah, accept it. Men are pigs, so you women better look good.
Oh, you want to hear more? Because he's got other stuff he says.
But I mean, what kind of... That sounds so...
Well, that's why we need him here to...
pedestrian, and it sounds so simple-minded to me, because you know why?
Maybe it's provoking thought.
What about intellectual women? What about creative women that are bored by a guy like that?
A guy like what?
A guy like him.
Well, you don't know him.
Yeah, well, when you hear it...
He said when he's at the bar, he's a catch.
You better look good or I can't even relate to you.
He didn't say that. He he can relate to you. He just won't have sex with you.
Yeah, but you go to the gym together and work it out. You look at the inner beauty.
Well, you know, he said both sides. It's got to work both ways.
Right. But it's so...
He doesn't mean it.
You know,
it's so simplistic the way he says it.
Okay, all right. How about this? I'm going to go to the next thing. We're going to get off the sex. Sex is a very hot topic. We'll come back to sex.
We always do.
If only.
Yes, go ahead.
This is chapter 4, and it's about sex. We're going to talk about sex. And we're going to talk about some things that a lot of people don't talk about or are uncomfortable talking about it. I like Woody Allen's quote. He says, sex alleviates tension, love causes it. It's pretty funny, but true. When I was researching people, interviewing people, almost all of the men I talked to, except for two that were in long-term relationships, all complained that they weren't getting enough sex. I don't think that surprises anybody. But when I interviewed the women, all the women, except a very few, said they were providing more sex, plenty of sex, and 30% of them wanted more sex. There's a huge disconnect here when all the men say they're not getting enough sex and all the women say they're providing enough or too much sex.
I saw something on your face there, Mr. Guest.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
Would you like to put a name to what you think you saw?
Not quite sure. I thought I'd ask you.
I don't know what you saw.
What's your thoughts on what he just said?
I would like to hear more. Does he identify, did in his extensive interviews, did he identify the disconnect?
Well, he talks about the 20% woman, the woman that needs sex all the time. And he breaks down, I think he has like 27, what's the, read the back of the book there, there's something on the back, there's a sticker on the back that says something.
The Holy Grail, 27 ways to spot women who love, want, and need lots of toe-curling sex.
They carry vibrators in their pocketbooks, that's what he says.
Yeah, because when you're at the grocery store and there's a long wait because, you know, somebody got on the 10-item checkout with 20 items, so you have a few minutes to spare, by all means, you know, whip that bad boy out and get to working.
Well, that's really what he's saying is when women go to the bathroom together. No. All right. You want to hear what he has to say about 20% women?
I can't wait.
You're tuned to listener-sponsored radio, WBAI. 99.5 FM. The name of the show.
Night Shift.
Night Shift.
Night Shift.
Sex and those 20% women. Those are the women that the men are looking for. Those are the women that need sex. They need a lot of sex. They like crazy sex. They're always thinking about sex. And those are the women that we attempted to identify with the Holy Grail. Because when I interviewed the men, I said, well, so what was different about that woman, that 1 in 5 woman that you encountered? And they said, oh, yeah. And they gave me something. Some of the items I was unable to use, but a lot of them ended up in the list. And I heard them over and over and over. They had all had one of those women or two of those women that just needed a lot of sex.
In the old days, they called that the nymphomaniac, Brian.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Still, the old days still apply to the new days.
Old days to the new days.
Both sides now.
Mystery guest, any thoughts on the
both male and female?
Yeah.
Wait,
I want to hear the mystery guest's thoughts first. Go ahead, mystery guest.
Do you really?
Yes, I do. Of course I do.
Is there a question? A direct question?
Yeah, direct question. What do you think of the whole concept of the 20% woman and the toe-curling sex and the need for it and identifying her and she only comes around every now and then?
I barely know where to begin. It's difficult to have this conversation
without the author.
No. Not without the author. The author would be nice. But outside of understanding the social
context,
the parameters under which men and women are raised, the mythology that good girls don't, that women have some sort of different lower sex drive than men, the fact that we are treated differently, you know, when men are quote unquote promiscuous, or in other words, being human, that's considered normal.
We're visual.
When women do the same thing, they're labeled as sluts. So the expression of a woman's sexuality, there's an active thing in our culture that tamps that down through slut shaming. So there's a lot of context here. And so now we have this mythical, I shouldn't say mythical, this 20%. You know, really?
Well, he's not calling her a slut. He's saying that she's the Holy Grail.
And the other 80 can just, what, get a bus ticket to nowhere?
Well, they're clearly, you know, they're in the lower percentile.
Maybe that's the 20% that's easy to please. The other 80% are waiting for men to figure out how to do it right. Maybe we'd like it more if y'all know what the hell y'all were doing.
Why don't you come out of your shell and tell me what you really think?
Night Shift.
It's my favorite show.
Ding. All right. So who else?
Is part of the problem, Mike?
Yes. What's part of the problem?
Part of the problem is that we confuse whatever our inner primal sexual needs with our whole political concept of the world. Very often, what you want and what you need sexually doesn't line up perfectly with your political notions of the world. And I think we have to understand that those are separate entities and that they function on different levels. And there should be nothing shaming about that. Understand that what your primal sexual soul is calling for doesn't always line up with your progressive politics. And I think people have big complex around that.
Well, I think that's a lot of double talk because in a lot of sense, what are you saying? Like, you should live the way you want no matter what society says?
No. I'm saying you should honor what you feel inside. That doesn't mean you become an amoral person.
Cue the gerbil.
And you honor it? All right, but there's somebody new here.
I'm going to come back to you. I'm just saying, Don't pretend that you can superimpose.
Who can superimpose? Wait. Who can superimpose? Who's superimposing?
Anyone. I'm just saying, I'm not saying men. I'm saying men and women, anyone. I'm just saying you have to be careful about thinking that what you feel inside has to correspond to what your politics are, or else what you're doing is you're becoming a phony self, and then that doesn't serve any good.
All right. Who else is here? I'm here. And what's your name?
Mike, can we talk out of this premium? Seriously.
Look, you never came and got your tickets. What happened? What's up?
Parliament drivel.
Dribble.
I've heard in quite some time.
Now who?
And it's literally giving me chest pain that this might be a bestseller. I'm not even joking.
He's right.
I'm having actual chest pain.
Yeah, having chest. Well, he's got a whole book. Mr. Guest, you have some of the table of contents there. Anything you think that our caller would like to hear?
Like to hear? Well, you know what? After the Holy Grail chapter, there's a chapter 6, What a Guy Worth Keeping Wants.
Oh, please slip through to that chapter. Let's just hear a few nuggets.
Oh, okay.
Now, what were you going to say, though, caller?
I said it. It's a pile of drivel. Every word he says is like a turd falling from his mouth.
Oh my God, I love you.
I love her.
You had me a turd.
Every word good. Falling from his mouth. Yes.
Woo. okay, take that, Sterling. You thought you had it bad.
Sterling.
No, Sterling.
Who's Sterling? Come on.
What is this guy's purpose? Is he trying to be a provocateur just to stir things up?
Well, I think, I think...
Is he trying to move things along, even in the comical... way. I don't know what his purpose is.
Well, that's if he called, we could ask him. I mean, he's clearly a provocateur. I mean, you know, that's part of selling books.
Let's not use him to say he's a gold standard for what men should or shouldn't be, because then that's kind of a silly argument, because then it's easy to take pop shots of him and say he's representative of all of us. That becomes really kind of
dumb. No one's saying that he's representative of all of us. No one's saying that.
People are reading into that, I think. I think
you're making a lot of presuppositions there. I mean, we're hearing one person's book, and no one's reading into anything. You know, you're going a little...
Well, I can hear him between the lines of the comments.
I think you're, extrapolating. Go ahead. Mr. Guess, what were you going to say?
We all extrapolate.
I was going to say...
you know I'm busting.
The opening quotes to the chapter might be worth sharing.
Oh, please.
Well, I get to chapter 6. What a guy worth keeping wants. And he has two opening quotes.
Mm.
The first is says, every woman needs one man in her life who is strong and responsible.
Mm.
Given this security, she can proceed to do what she really wants to do, fall in love with men who are weak and irresponsible.
Mm.
And that is a quote from a Canadian humor columnist, Richard J. Needham.
Yeah.
Mm.
And the second quote is also from a humorist, Margot Kaufman.
Mm.
And she says, the only thing worse than a man you can't control is a man you can.
Right.
Incendiary.
Ooh.
Just a bit.
Mm.
Stand your ground.
It's complicated, man.
It's very complicated.
You can put this in a box and say there's a formula. Mm. He's kind of deceiving himself.
Anybody who says they can put it in a box.
I can't wait till a rogue asteroid comes and destroys this planet. It's done.
Here we go. Hallelujah.
Stop. Be nice.
Well,
you think we're
done? I'm hoping my mothership comes before then.
I understand.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
It can be a legitimate asteroid. It doesn't have to be a rogue asteroid.
This is true. Well, I'm going with the concept that I had last week, that these asteroids we were seeing have to do with these, you know, planet-destroying aliens that are making their way towards us. And this is just the beginning. You know, they destroy planets in their wake.
Keep watching Cosmos.
There it is.
How soon will they be here?
They'll be here soon. They're on their way.
Do I have time to pack?
Okay, now,
grab your towel.
You got some quote. Give me just a few more of the enlightening chapter headings there, Mr. Guest.
Sure.
I know that our female caller loves this stuff.
Yes. Chapter 7, what can go wrong? It's just a question. Chapter 8, navigating the menopause minefield, which I find fascinating.
Please jump to that chapter, navigating the menopause minefield.
Sounded kind of personal sir.
Navigating them. Well, you know, after a certain point, you date women of a certain age. We need to know.
Women of a certain age.
Well, menopausal age, you know.
Wow.
Go ahead.
The quote at the top of that chapter.
Byron perked up at this point, by the way. Byron perked up. He was like, menopause a minefield.
An archaeologist.
Excuse me.
Yes.
Here's menopausal minefield. Go for it.
Okay. Thank you. All right.
The quote at the top is, an archaeologist is the best husband a woman can have.
Mm.
The older she gets, the more interested he is in her.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Okay. Yeah. Very wise.
That's
true for some people, not for others.
And that's from Agatha Christie.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Agatha Christie.
You know, I would say polygamy, but polygamy is when men marry more than one woman. Perhaps polyandry, that's when women marry more than one man, is the answer. You know, you have one that makes money, have one that can fix your VCR, and then one that can fix
you. You know what I call women like that?
What?
Dare I ask?
Collectors.
Collectors.
We've all met those women. Collectors. They collect men. They have different men that do fulfill different things in their lives.
The collector trend.
Yes. I've had a number of women try to collect me over the years. I will not
be collected. Fools.
I will not be collected.
Mike.
What?
Are you still collectible?
I am not.
Are you still collectible?
I will not be collected.
Okay.
I'm a free man. Go ahead, please, Mr. Guest.
Still
chapters? Back to chapter headings?
Well, no, you were jumping ahead to menopause and minefield. I want to hear something from there. I mean, you just read me the quote.
That's it. Doesn't really, you know.
There's no minefield, there's no map.
No checklist?
Is there a map or a checklist in there?
Oh, wouldn't that just make it too
easy?
I
like the menopausal minefield checklist.
So C index.
Caution. I'd turn back if I were
there's
you.
There's probably one on every other page.
Stop. Be nice.
No, he doesn't have anything.
No,
I'm sorry.
Okay, I have a hot
cup. I'm so happy this author didn't call in, because I would happily tear him a new sphincter.
Oh, but he'd be ready for you, though. That's the thing, I'm sure.
I'll be thanks.
Oh, well, I
think he doesn't know about my Tung Fu, Mike. Oh. I'll be all over him.
He doesn't know about your Tung Fu.
Is he scared? You think he's scared, Mike?
Oh, my goodness. You know what? How about I read the opening paragraph to the chapter?
Please.
Why not?
If your wife or girlfriend is 40 or older and has had a partial or full hysterectomy, you had better get ready to grab yourself by the ass. Mm. Because you may be in for the ride of your life if all my interviews are accurate. Wow.
Wow.
May I just say, what about andropause that men get, whatever that is?
You mean the low testosterone?
Yeah.
Menopause?
Yeah, middle-aged andropause in men, yeah.
Men get it, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Well, maybe women in their 40s should really be dating men in their 20s.
Maybe women who date men over 40 should be holding on to their ass, too.
Yeah, because that's the only holding they're going to get.
Men and women should do what they want individually.
How about that?
Yeah.
All right. So if you are in your 20s and listening to the show, gentlemen, the number is 212.
That's right. You got 40. That's right. 212-209-2950.
It's a direct line.
There it is. Make that call.
20 cents in my pocket.
Make that call. Brave that minefield.
Yes.
And make we got some sexy DGM in the background for you. You can get that for a pledge of $35.
Yeah. What is the premium?
The premium is, you can get the sexy DGM, which is what you've been listening to, which you've been listening to throughout the show.
Okay.
It's the music that goes along with all of our exploring of this book
and what is the
sexual
box?
The book is called Men Are Pigs.
Yes.
Subtitle, that's a good thing.
Okay.
Ron Sturgeon. So for a pledge, you can get this book, and believe me, it will provide hours of entertainment for you and your friends. 212-209-2950, and you get the CD. If you just want the CD, $35 pledge, just go Sexy DGM 2014. We'll be playing more of the music later, telling you more about some of the groups and the music and the bands that are on here, courtesy of Lance.
Let's go, Lance.
You can't have your cake and eat it too. Tell me, what's the meaning? What's the sense of me having cake if I can't eat it? Cheaters never win, my friend. You like creeping, but hey, when your girl start cheating, imagine if you came home to your wife, opened your door and locked it. Then you found R. Kelly hiding in your closet. I knew you would start cheating before you even stopped it. I'm like, when you double your money, I'm a prophet. Albert Einstein was smart, but I'm some wiser. I'm a ladies man, your man is a womanizer.
I see you. Are you reading sections that, please, is there something you'd like to share? Come on, you're shaking your head. Yes, there is. I can see it in your face. What are you going to say?
Nothing.
Nothing?
No.
All right, you're going to go back to 10th contacts. Yes, sir.
I want to say something. I think there's also a danger in thinking that there's this trickle-down patriarchy that all us guys on the ground have a direct link
trickle-down to. Trickle-down patriarchy.
Well, that somehow, whatever the power structures that happen to be dudes up top, that we either identify with them or want to be them. Now, we may have some of the benefits of what they have, and we may fight against that or not, depending upon where we're coming from, but there's a danger in thinking that we all agree with that just because we share genitalia with them.
There's a danger to who?
A danger to the philosophical notion of seeing how we see gender dynamics, that because the dudes up there in power are men, that of necessity we have a relationship with them, or that we care that where they're coming
from. Where's the danger?
Oh, my God. The danger is the notion that thinking that we are part of them because they're up there. That's
the danger is that you would be classified with men who are sexist. Is that the danger to you personally?
Well, yeah, that's putting it simplistically. The notion that somehow we all are compadres because we share.
Wouldn't you say, but I have to pause you here to say, isn't that essentially the essence of prejudice? Isn't that the essence of prejudice?
Meaning
that you think all of one type are the same. Isn't that the essence of prejudice?
No, that's what people, very often I think people read into it, whether they admit to it or not or aware of it or not, that somehow the patriarchal ruling class is by extension something that men down here on the ground relate to.
All right. Since this seems personal.
That's the only point I'm making.
I understand, but you use words like danger. So do you consider yourself to be
danger is a little bit of an over.
That's okay. I got a question for you.
Shoot.
Do you consider yourself to be an enlightened man?
Well, if I compare myself to the average dollar on the street, yeah.
There's
no such thing as a perfect vessel. I think there's a problem in presuming that anyone has all the answers.
You go to the Byron Saunders School?
Come on, brother. It's on this side of the track.
Just like Byron, my God.
If I go to Byron Saunders School, do I come back?
You are a very peace-loving man.
Oh, my goodness. You are a
super good thing. Because sometimes I think there's a problem with guys bending over and agreeing with everything women say, and then inside they may not be agreeing.
True.
They're putting up a front just so they can get over and keep their relationship going, and they're not necessarily being true.
That's
another problem going on there also.
You have to be honest in a relationship to make it work.
Well, honest without being mean or cruel. I think you have to be honest without trampling somebody.
Yes.
Go ahead, I'm trying to hear you. Guys go.
She wants to hear nothing but the lies.
Tell me sweet little lies.
Lies.
That you're making my point, that there are some people that want, many women that want to hear lies because it's convenient or it makes them feel better. I'm not judging that. I'm just saying that's the reality.
But I'd like to say one thing, Keith, that if you don't continue the conversation and try to open your mind, you won't know where it's going to take you. I mean, if you say, oh, well, I don't really want to hear this, but I'm just doing it so I can get laid. Well, but let the conversation go. You might learn something.
Well, of course.
Let her keep talking.
Let her keep talking. This woman's taking me somewhere where I've never been.
That's right. Well, she can keep her clothes on for a little while longer.
Yeah,
I see.
Yeah, sure.
I'm with that.
No problem.
All right, well, Byron, what's the phone number here?
212.
Mystery guests, they're talking to you.
209-2950. That is the number to call to make a pledge. $35 for just the DGM, which is damn good music. Sexy DGM. I'm telling you, it's got 50 cuts.
Over 50 cuts.
It's a wonderful purchase. But to get the both of them, $100, the book itself, and the DGM.
Men are pigs.
That's a good thing.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hello.
Yes.
I just like to say that concerning relationships, honesty should be the first key, first thing, first policy. Allowing the other person to say no. Domination should be last.
Allowing the other person to say no. Give an example, sir.
Okay. Instance,
you may not go out with your friends.
Talking to the person honestly. About what you want in the relationship.
Yeah, but back up. You said no. You said, I want to know. Honestly, you already established that. We all get that. Honestly, being in a relationship, we can get that anywhere. That comes inside the soda pop. I want to know about letting the person say no. What do you mean?
Okay, letting the person say no means that if the person disagree with you, saying, this is not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for something else. you can just be friends or whatever the case might be.
So letting the person say no means, like, if the person says no, I don't want to be with you, don't hound them? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying to you, don't hassle them if they disagree with what you're looking for. You know, let know that you're two individuals, you're both looking for something, you can't read each other's mind. So,
in other words, honor the rejection you're getting.
Yes.
I'm with you. All right, let them say no. Let them reject you and keep on keeping on. I'm with you. All right. And what's your name, sir?
Dead man.
Stop. Be nice. Be nice. Everybody nice. Nice. Play nice. Niceness. Okay.
So now this, I want to talk to the lady.
Talk to the lady.
Yes.
Okay. What is your feedback on what I just said? Is it decent? Is it bad? What are you?
What do you really?
From
say?
A woman's perspective.
What's your perspective, Mr. Guest?
That you should respect each of you. I don't disagree. I mean, I was joking around before, but there should be mutual respect. If I'm understanding how you're defining respecting the no.
Okay, so the no is, you say,
I don't want to go out with you.
I don't want to go out with you.
That's the no. Yeah, I get you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I
think you should be.
Go ahead, Mrs.
It's not a good feeling.
To be rejected.
No. I think I would rather be rejected than, and honestly, and full out rejected, than to be half-heartedly dated. There's no joy there.
So do you feel that being half-hearted by saying, okay, I accept your feelings about not wanting to.
Right. Why would I want to talk someone into me? If you're not buying the brand, you know, move on.
Move on.
Okay. That's the way I see it. Okay. Two people talk to each other and they're not in agreement, then they should, you know, as you said, move on. That is mutual understanding, mutual respect. Would you agree?
Was that the question? Would I agree?
No. Would you agree that if we move on, we should say, okay, I'm looking for one thing, you're looking for something else, you want to offer, you say that you don't want it, because you're looking for something else.
Well, what's the, all right, I got to ask you, what's the alternative to moving on? Like, if somebody, you say, well, somebody, what's the alternative? Sorry. To stay in there, hang in there, lay in the cut?
People do that all the time.
Oh, I know. It works. You know, if you wait long
well,
enough.
Well, works in quotes.
You know, yeah, exactly. I mean, it works enough times for people that people will lay in the cut, you know. but it really depends, you know. So you're saying, sir, what I'm asking you, what's the alternative to moving on?
The alternative is...
The alternative you advise against.
Okay, my alternative advice is... Well, first off, discuss what you're looking for and find out whether there is an alternative. Well, no, because
maybe you're missing my question. Okay. I'm not asking how you get to your process. I'm saying you said let the person say no, and then moving on the best thing. And I said, well, if somebody doesn't want to date you, what other option is there other than to be friends or not
stalking,
be friends?
Stalking, restraining order.
Are those the alternatives you're talking about? See, don't give him answers. He needs to find them himself.
Or
he'll never succeed.
Okay. There's a whole market for people out there looking for the answers to be given to them.
What I'm saying basically is that if you can actually push the person away, or sometimes if you're not aggressive enough.
All right.
It depends.
Okay, I get you. It depends. I'm with you.
Can I,
Somebody else is calling now. So yes, hello.
No, it's not just about sex. No, if someone doesn't want to be around you and go to the coffee house, get away. No one has an obligation. That should be respected. You know, I mean, there's a point where if someone says, "Yo, look, I don't want to be around you," then.
I don't want to be around. We got from no to I don't want to be around.
I get it. He has a stalker.
Do you have a stalker?
He said no, and the lady is pursuing.
Wait, is the lady pursuing or is he pursuing the lady?
No, he's being pursued.
All right, well, I think we lost everybody there for a minute. But you are tuned to Listener Sponsored Radio, WBAI 99.5 FM. We're taking calls for people
to join
the conversation. I even give out that number. What we really want you to do is pledge, which is 212-209-2950. People who are calling are people who already know the phone number here.
And thank you for that pledge. We appreciate that.
Ready. Listeners, but you can make a pledge now. There are two things you can pledge for, or you can get a combo. You can get the book and the CD, okay, for $100. You get the book, Men Are Pigs, Ron Sturgeon, or you can get the CD, which we're going to be playing more of, which is a $35 pledge.
I recommend getting several copies of the book. And perhaps, ladies, if you have a book club, And you're looking for the next hot topic book to discuss?
Well, it'll bring up discussion. That's for sure.
For sure.
Sure. What about the tokens in the back? There are tokens in the back. You can read some of the tokens.
I can. And
they're like circular tokens that you can hand out during the relationship.
Oh, you want those tokens. I thought you meant like the actual spelled out tokens, because those were there as well. So you want the...
Something's up with our phones. 212-209-2900 if you want to call, but only call if you've pledged. Go ahead. He's got like these punch-out tokens.
Oh, you want me to go to the punch-out tokens, or they're like these tokens?
Oh, you both.
Okay.
Oh, that's good.
Well, he's graciously broken it down by gender, although I think that's limiting because he only has the two genders. But he's from Texas, so perhaps he doesn't acknowledge transgender. But the tokens for men are the pedestal treatment.
The pedestal treatment?
Yes, which you should do for 7 days.
Okay.
Which is every
morning. Do you agree with
this? I haven't stated.
All right, say with it, please.
Every morning, ask your partner, what can I do for you to earn you for one more day?
Wow. Are you with that?
I'm intrigued.
Okay.
I am intrigued.
Go ahead.
Domestic duties for 30 days. And he states very clearly, you know what she wants, do it. Take out the trash, put fresh flowers in the vases, pick up your socks, pick out your own clothes when dressing or shopping, feed the dogs, exceed her expectations.
Are you with that? Are you still intrigued?
Yes.
Okay.
And massage therapy. Pepper her with surprise texts, emails, IMs, hidden notes in her daily planner or underwear drawer if she wears any. Snail mail cards and letters.
If she's one to 20%, she don't wear no underwear. All right, get it, sir.
Snail mail cards and letters, racy pics and phone calls. Message her somehow at least once per day. This one's interesting. Venting. Stop whining and complaining. No negative energy. None. Nada. Cap it. Put a sock in your pie hole. Make it all positive energy.
Is that a token?
Yes, that's a token. And there are a few more. I was just reading some of the shorties.
Go ahead.
But I'll leap over for a parody. Leap over to some of the suggestions that he makes for the women.
Okay.
Cook his favorite meal.
Okay.
Or pick it up.
This is for women.
Yes.
Or pick it up.
He may not think much of it the first night, but the second night he will know something's up because he suggests that you do this for 7 days. Also for 7 days, start sex. Shock him. Slide over beside him on the couch. You know, like you would do if you divorced your current man and got a new BF. Boyfriend. Now slide your hand over his crotch. Tell him how much you want to restore that old spark. I'm sure you can figure out what to do next.
I'd like to restore that old spark.
I don't think he would like it in that voice.
Okay.
Maybe he would.
I'd like to restore that old spark that we used to have, honey.
No?
Wow, and now it's the help.
You is kind. You is good.
I have a limited range of female voices. I can do Mrs. Doubtfire.
But your Sydney Poitier is dead on.
That's only because you never hear people do Sydney Poitier.
That's true. Let's see. Fantasies for 10 days. Make it part of the relentless sex if you want. When was the last time you met him?
By the way, this is the relentless sex music right here.
Yeah. Well, actually, I'll go back. I skipped that, but because it was a long paragraph, but
okay,
I'll say it.
No, go ahead.
Pledge yourself to have sex at least once a day, every day, for the next 30 days. Oh, see, now I need an app now. That's a lot of scheduling. But without fail, squeeze it in on busy days with nooners, closet rendezvous.
Nooners.
Noontime.
Yes.
Like in the beginning of Psycho.
Well, given the economic environment and the unemployment level, you can work in a nooner. Who's working? Closet rendezvous.
Taco Bell, baby.
I've had nooners in my day.
Carnookie. Office tryst.
Car nookie.
Clearly, it's not a convertible. Early morning wake-up rumbles. Set the alarm 30 minutes early. Lawn screws and shower shags. And he ain't talking to the sisters.
Lawn screws and shower shags.
Right. Going to have to get a shower cap.
Yeah, but are you going to go out on the lawn?
Well, I miss...
It's dark, I hope. I mean, you don't go out in broad daylight early in the morning. Kids are on their way to school.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Have sex in any and every location except the bedroom. Mm. And girls, you know those things you used to do? The ones a new boyfriend would require? He gets those, too. You know what he wants. Shock him. Exceed his expectations. Blow his mind. Pun intended.
Men are pigs, and that's a good thing. Ron Sturgeon, the author. Those are some excerpts here. We got three callers here on the line. Hello, you're on the air.
Good evening. Well, good morning.
Each of you can say good hello. Morning. All right, we got two left. Hello.
Yeah, I'm here.
You're there. Who else is here?
Mike, the DGM you played at the very top of the show, is that Hitchcock?
Yes, it was.
Wow.
Yes, it was.
Right.
Look at that. Yes.
Very
that's what,
good.
That's what I'm going to pledge just for the music.
Thank you. Wow. Okay, we'll get
thank
the
music. Pledge.
May I ask mystery guest a question?
Yes. Certainly.
A mystery question.
Guest. I hope I have an
I'd
answer.
I'd like to discuss something much more important. Maybe you can help.
Yes, ma'am.
Deconstruct it. What's going on in the House of Hover? What's going on with Jay-Z, Solange, and Beyonce? Can we deconstruct that? You think that's far more important than Sturgeon's book? I'm just saying.
I have absolutely no idea what's going on in House Beyonce.
House Beyonce.
House of Hover. Anyway, so yes, I'm going to get off now so I can pledge for the year.
Thank you very much. And why didn't you come get your tickets there? What's up? You never got
because I couldn't pick them up within the parameters that you gave me. I worked very odd hours.
Well, you could have said something. We would make some plans, arrangements for you.
Well, if you didn't take so long to reply to emails, then maybe we could have.
Oh, we're going to go there.
Yeah, we went there, mate.
Oh, is this Tung Fu?
She sounds like a female Alfred Hitchcock.
She is. Yes. What's the phone number here, Byron, that people can pledge?
212-209-2950. Pick up the phone, give us a call.
All right,
we're
trying to get you to pledge for the book. We're gonna go into a little bit of Life is Like Science Fiction and hopefully get you to pledge for the music, too.
Yes.
What's the phone number, Byron?
212-209-2950.
Now, anything you want to close out with there, mystery guest, on the book?
Me?
No, not you. You're not a mystery guest. You're a caller. Could you please understand who and what you are?
Sorry.
Go ahead, mystery guest.
Well, I will round out the final chapters because there are 12. He has tips to make it better, and the subtitle is Off to Charm School. So not total piggishness, I'm assuming.
Charm School.
You can teach an old dog new tricks.
It's a chum school.
Chumped.
No.
Chum like you.
I thought you said chump.
You get cut up and fed to sharks.
Yeah, that's a chump school.
Chapter 10 is how to keep them forever. We mentioned that one. And then chapter 11 was the pedestal tokens, which are women and pigs in rehab. And then chapter 12 is one final oink, which is very cute.
Yeah.
What's the final link?
His last chapter.
Okay.
The last chapter.
Okay.
That's all.
Now, he's got a little bio there. Just give us a little bio on him before we close this out. I gave it to you here, I think.
Oh, because he has a little short something.
Same one in the book? Okay, good.
I believe so. Let me just get to the proper page. About the author. Ron Sturgeon is a classic American entrepreneur. His rags-to-riches story began when, at the age of 17, he launched his own auto salvage business after his dad died, and he had no money and no place to live. He went on to build it into one of the largest operations of its kind in the United States. In 1999, he sold his chain of salvage yards to Ford Motor Company. He repurchased what had become a money-losing business from Ford several years later. After whipping it back into profitability, Sturgeon and two partners sold it once more to Schnitzer Industries. Let me see. I'll skip over a little bit to the personal. Oh, no. I'll just keep going. Today, Sturgeon is a successful real estate investor and founder of Mr. Mission Possible Small Business Consulting. He is also the founder of DFW Drive Your Dream Exotic Car Driving Experience and the DFW Elite Toy Museum. Sturgeon is the author of 5 business books, including Peer Benchmark Groups, Green Weenies, How to Salvage Millions from Your Small Business, How to Salvage More Millions from Your Small Business, and Getting to Yes with Your Banker. Pigs is a dramatic departure for Sturgeon, the result of unleashing his analytical business skills on the riddle of male-female romantic relationships. It's a much-needed discussion that any red-blooded male and female will want to read.
There it is. 212-209-2950. You get the book.
I wonder.
You got the book and you get the CD. Men Are Pigs, and that's a good thing. And then we're going to go to just the music for a while and get some Life Is Like Science Fiction for you. And you're tuned to listener sponsored radio.
Night Shift.
WBAI.
It's my favorite show.
99.5 FM.
Night Shift.
What's the phone number?
212-209-2950.
Mr. Guest?
It's 212-209-2950.
And if you just want the music, $35 pledge, we'll send it to you free. I'll tell you what, you get your receipt number, you can email me at lifeislikesciencefiction@gmail.com, and I will just send it to you. I'll send it to you tomorrow. I've already sent it. I sent it to Lance. 212-209-2950. $35 pledge. You can get the latest, the sexy DGM. We're listening to now.
you want. I know what you're needing. How your heart is bleeding. I feel how you're aching when you press your lover's flesh against the skin of her loneliness.
Time out. kiss.
Thank you.
Now, this I like this song quite a bit. Have you ever heard this before, Byron?
I'm not sure, but I really like it.
Have
really,
you heard
really
before,
like
Mystery
it.
Guest?
No, I have not.
It's Louis Armstrong.
Is he singing a Negro spiritual?
No. Believe it or not, this is from a James Bond movie.
All the precious things love has in store.
This is where I got my concept of having Louis Armstrong do all the James Bond's greatest hits. He would have been good.
Yeah. If that's all we have, you will find we need nothing more. Every step of the way will find.
All right, Mr. Guest, you have a couple stories there.
I do.
Mm-hmm. And so do you, Byron.
Yeah.
I do like the story, Byron, the short man story. I want you to go to that. I want you to learn about short men.
Yes.
But, Mr. Guest, you go first. You have a story.
I do. Do you have a preference?
Ladies' choice.
Okay. I find the title and premise intriguing. It's athletes respond better to female psychologists.
Talk to me.
Well, when listening to the voices of a sports psychologist, both men and female athletes rate women psychologists more positively than male ones. This is the finding.
Men and women athletes.
Yes. This is a study by Rebecca Mitchell from Leeds Metropolitan University, presented as a part of a poster presentation session at the British Psychological Society's annual conference. That was on Friday, May 9th this year. Hosted at the International Convention Center in Birmingham. In her study, Rebecca Mitchell asked 117 participants, which was 59 men and 58 women, most aged between 18 and 35, who regularly took part in sport, to listen to different voices. There were four voices: a high-pitched male voice, low-pitched male voice, high-pitched female voice, and low-pitch female voice. The participants were asked to listen to all four and then rate each speaker on his or her sports knowledge, personality traits, the likelihood of the participant seeking his or her services of a psychologist, and their effectiveness. Responses from the 93 participants who answered all the questions were analyzed. This showed that the two female voices were rated higher than all four, rated higher for all four factors. The low-pitched voice perceived to have the most sports knowledge, to be most effective psychologist, and to be the one whose services they were most likely to seek. The high-pitched female voice was seen most positively in terms of personality. There were no significant differences in the way that the male and female participants rated the voices. Do you need more?
Yeah, finish up, because I find it makes a lot of sense to me.
Mm-hmm. Rebecca Mitchell said, quote, "These findings challenge the historical prevalent view that male psychologists are more successful and show that gender equality has made progress in sport. It may be that the participants did not want to appear prejudiced against female psychologists, but that too is an indication of the progress that has been made. It is well known that the first impression a sports psychologist makes on an athlete is important, and the psychologist's voice is certainly part of that. Psychologists may need to be more aware of how they sound if they are to foster a good relationship with an athlete from the start."
What's your take on that?
Yay.
Yay. But, I mean, why do you think that that is? Why do you think that they prefer the female voice?
Perhaps it goes, and somewhat stereotypically, to the idea that women are more nurturing. You know, then this was, the age group is 18 to 35. You know, perhaps there is still some connection to mom.
I see, that's where I was going. And I think the mother as a role, that no matter what, generally, you know your mother. You identify a certain amount of safety,
mm-hmm,
and understanding and compassion and
if all went wisdom. Well, yes.
Well, you know, generally.
Generally.
And if these are people who are used to being in competition sets you up to be a certain type of person, mm-hmm. certain type of personality, being active in sports, you're conscious of yourself, your body, you're competitive, you know, and these are all things that would need nurturing.
Yes.
Don't you think?
We all need nurturing.
Yeah, but you don't raise a champion without nurturing.
Some would say you don't raise a champion without pushing them hard.
Okay.
So, there are, for every school of thought, I'll give you the opposite, you know. But I still stand by my answer as to why this would be. You know, the fact that a female voice may be seen as more soothing and the connection to mom.
Byron?
I would agree with the assessment. The sound of the mother's voice is a very calming sound from the heartbeat.
From infants, that's my point. That's
right.
That's what I think.
Exactly.
Unless she's calling you at full voice and using your whole name.
Yeah, right. Then you know how bad you're in trouble.
Right. There are mitigating factors.
Yeah. Exactly. How much love is on the line on this, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. But, yeah, definitely that sound has an impact. Profound sound. Profound sound.
Profound sound.
Profound sound, yes. This is some very good DGM, by the way.
212-209-2950.
You are tuned to listener-sponsored radio.
Night Shift.
The name of the show.
Yeah.
Night Shift.
You got it.
The feeling you're having.
Night Shift.
You had some information that I specifically wanted you to hear about and you'd be aware of.
All right. Science Daily, in fact, your source for the latest research news. The date, it's May the 9th, is 2014. This is from the University of Hawaii at Manoa. Shorter men live longer. Study shows.
Hawaiian study.
There you go.
By short men.
Yes. Short height and long life have a direct connection in Japanese men, according to new research based on the Kwakini Honolulu Heart Program, HHP, and the Kwakini Honolulu Asia Aging Study, or HAAS, has. You see, we split people into two groups. Those that were 5'2" and shorter, and 5'4" and taller, said Dr. Bradley Wilcox.
We split them into hobbits and trolls.
Yes. One of the investigators for the study and a professor in the University of Hawaii. This is at the John A. Burns School of Medicine's Department of Geriatric Medicine. The folks that were 5'2 and shorter lived the longest. The range was seen all the way across from being 5 foot tall to 6 foot tall. The taller you got, the shorter you lived. Researchers at the Kwakini Medical Center, the UH John A. Burns School of Medicine, and the U.S. Veterans Affairs worked on the study. So that's who all got the grant. These three schools. It was recently published in Plus One, a peer-reviewed medical journal. Okay, so these guys officially posted their results. The researchers showed that shorter men were more likely to have a protective form of the longevity gene. It's better known as FOXO3. Or F0X.
That's interesting because that makes sense. That means that genetically, because they're smaller, they were given this longevity gene.
Yes, this is what they're predicting, leading to smaller body size during early development.
Is that what they mean by the short will inherit the earth?
Probably something. Okay. And a longer lifespan. Shorter men were also more likely to have lower blood insulin levels and less cancer. The study shows for the first time that body size is linked to this gene, said Dr. Wilcox. We knew that in animal models of aging. We did not know that in humans. We have the name, we have the same or slightly different version in mice, roundworms, flies. Even yeast has a version of this gene, and it's important in longevity across all these species. So everybody's got a piece of this gene. Dr. Wilcox noted that there is no specific height or age range that should be targeted as a cutoff in the study. So this was all across the board. In part because no matter how tall you are, you can still live a healthy lifestyle to offset having a typical FOXO3 genotype rather than the longevity-enhancing form of FOXO3 gene. So don't be confused.
You think they'll eventually be able to inject you with, like, the longevity gene?
Well, it looks like that's what they're trying to tell you, that they can isolate. Yes, yes.
What do you think? What's your thought on that and the short men there, Mr. Guest?
I guess it's nice. I'm just not sure how they work that into a pickup line. Hey, girl, how you doing up there? I'm going to live forever, boo.
I'm the short one.
You might want to get up on this. Or let me get up on that. Where my ladder at?
I'm the short one. Yeah. For real. Whew. Okay.
I'm going to need a second story ladder, girl.
Mr. Guest.
Yes.
What's your take? Do a lot of short men come up to you?
No.
You said that with such emphasis.
Well, there's a history here. I dated a short guy once. And it wasn't Prince.
It wasn't Prince?
No.
Why not?
Restraining order.
Oh, okay.
Science Daily, pregnancy significantly increases risk of serious traffic crashes.
Whoa, wait a minute.
This flash, talk to me.
I don't think it's getting pregnant while driving, because that clearly would create accidents. Because that's multitasking to a very negative intent. But I'll read the article. This is from the Canadian Medical Association Journal. Pregnancy is associated with a significant risk of a serious car crash
requiring emergency medical care during the second trimester, according to a research paper published by the Canadian Medical Association Journal, or CMAJ. Traffic mishaps place mother and baby at risk of fetal death, chronic disability, and complicated emergency medical care. A study of 507,262 pregnant women. How do you study 500,000 women?
Over time.
Nice. It looked at whether common features of pregnancy, such as nausea, fatigue, insomnia, and distraction, could contribute to human error and the risk of traffic crash requiring emergency medical care. During the 3 years before pregnancy, the women had 6,922 crashes, which is 177 per month. During the second trimester, the women, as drivers, had 757 crashes, 252 per month. The elevated risk during the middle of pregnancy equaled a 42% increase in serious traffic crashes from baseline.
What insurance company funded this research?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's not, I don't see
that.
List
that.
I didn't get to
that's
that.
An interesting story.
Right, because no, I'm seeing an excuse to raise my rates. That's what I'm seeing.
Or ban you from driving, period.
Either, right, you know.
Either don't drive or you're going to pay more during pregnancy.
Right, exactly. And somehow I see the men in Saudi Arabia going, we told you that. That's why we don't let our women drive at all. Anyway, pregnant women often worry about air flights, scuba diving, hot tubs, and other topics of maternal health, yet individuals may overlook traffic crashes.
Pregnant women worry about hot tub talk?
Hot tubs.
Okay.
I would think the deed's already been done. You already in a hot tub. That's how you got pregnant. So, you know, the damage is done, boo. Damage is done. Let's see. Okay, they may overlook traffic crashes despite their greater health risks, states lead author Dr. Donald Riedelmeier, a researcher for the Institute for Clinical Evaluative Studies and a physician at the Department of Medicine.
How do you take seriously somebody named Riedelmeier? Yeah, I'm sorry.
Statistically, about 1 in 50 pregnant women will be involved in a motor vehicle crash at some point during pregnancy. Is it this assuming that they're driving? Or is this the husband in the driver's seat trying to get them to the hospital on time?
No, it's a woman driver.
Okay. The increase was almost fully explained by multiple vehicle crashes in which the woman had been driving the car, not a truck or other miscellaneous vehicle, and had a high triage urgency, writes Dr. John Barrett, chief of maternal fetal medicine at Sunnybrook Health Sciences Center, Toronto, with co-authors. Almost all traffic crashes could be prevented by a small change in driver behavior. The absolute risks among pregnant women, however, are still lower than among men of this age, emphasizes Dr. Riedelmeier. The researchers did not see similar increases among women who were pedestrians or passengers, nor increases in the number of falls or risky behaviors. Dr. Riedelmeier stresses, these findings are not a reason to decide not to have children. What? Wait a minute. Seriously? Okay, these findings are not a reason to decide not to have children.
I mean, you can't have kids. You won't be able to drive. Now,
exactly.
Stop this.
Or a reason to stop driving. Wow, I hadn't even thought of that in my list of no's. The findings primarily emphasize the need to drive more carefully. Standard advice includes avoiding excessive speed, signaling turns, yielding right of way, obeying stop signs.
Do pregnant women drive excessively fast?
Apparently. Gain weight, I got a cramp.
Heavy footed.
It's not me, it's the baby.
Yeah. I would do my a son's second.
I'm driving for two.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
So now we have to now reconfigure the study and take into account the single pregnant women. Because this is a woman who has a husband or an actively participating father who's not letting her drive out of her safety. But what if she's winging it? What if she's on her own? Well, damn it, woman, get behind the wheel of that car and be careful. Oh, yeah, so we have to avoid excessive speed, signaling turns, yielding right-of-way, obeying stop signs, minimizing distractions, and always using a seatbelt when pregnant. Even a minor vehicle crash during pregnancy could lead to irreparable consequences for mother and child, states Dr. Riedelmeyer. These findings underscore the importance of prevention and indicate that good prenatal care includes safe driving. And you, too, can prevent forest fires.
And so you didn't let your wife drive by him because you were afraid of her getting the crash?
That, and it was dangerous for her to even be behind the wheel.
Because of her driving?
No, because of her stomach and the position for which it was up against the steering wheel. And at any given...
She could belch and swerve out of control.
Yeah, pretty much. And that's not that's not the kind of situation you want to have happening while she is in
probably not.
Condition. So
when she's not in the condition, it's fine to be in an accident.
When she's not in that condition, she has to be extra careful, like the man does. But being in...
Like the man does.
Yes, but...
Men are just naturally careful.
No. Men are naturally careless when it comes to navigating a car. They love playing bump cars. Okay? It's like NASCAR, but under control. Anyway.
Apparently, you haven't been on the Belt Parkway lately.
Well, that's the reason why, because they're frustrated. So they can't get around each other. So it's the world's largest rush hour parking lot. Anyway.
You wouldn't let your wife drive.
No.
I understand.
Are you kidding?
I understand.
Thank goodness.
Mr. Guest? Yeah.
Yes. No, I wouldn't let my wife drive either.
You wouldn't let your wife drive either. Okay.
See? It's a consensus.
Byron, you have another story.
Yes. All right.
By the way, the phone number here is 212-209-2950. If you're enjoying the music, you can pledge now and get the music. It's called Sexy DGM. And you can get it now. If you call 212-209-2950, make a $35 pledge. The music can be yours. You can get the book we were talking about earlier, which will spark all kinds of conversation. Have it for your next coffee clutch. And that's for $100. And it's called Men Are Pigs, and that's a good thing. 212-209-2950. Do you think you can order this for your coffee clutch?
You mean my book club?
Your book club.
Chat, Chew, and Sip.
Chat, Chew, and Sip.
I like it.
Yes.
I like it.
We eat, we talk, we drink wine.
Hey.
You know what the 20% women call it?
Advertising?
No. Chat, Chew, and Strip. And they just, you know, they get naked and... Anyway, go ahead.
Wow, active fantasy life you got going on there.
I do.
Mr. Sergeant.
Coffee clutch.
Excuse me. Where are we going?
Wherever.
Okay, I'm trying to write this stuff as fast as I can, all right?
Okay, well, Byron, you need to complicate things. Put a pen in your hand.
Lance, they're complicating this whole process. I'm trying to write this stuff, dude, okay?
All right, what's your story? What's your story, Byron?
All right. I got two stories. One, you tell me. You want to hear about the one about the exploding head syndrome?
Yes, I want to know about the
one about the uncontrollable ice melt.
Oh, because I have a companion story to that. Go to the exploding head.
All right.
Mr. Guest, please pay close attention to this story.
All right.
Yes.
Exploding head syndrome. A mind-blowing sleep disorder. Oh, it's not what you think it is. Okay. Fortunately, exploding head syndrome is not as dangerous as it sounds. But it is a real condition.
Don't sleep next to somebody who's got exploding head.
And researchers are finally beginning to seriously investigate the rare and little understood sleep disorder. You see, people with exploding head syndrome hear extremely loud noises. A gunshot, an explosion, a thunderclap as they're drifting off to sleep or as they wake up from a deep sleep. Five things you must know about sleep. You can find this in that study. The sound is terrifying, super loud, like someone has broken in, Marie Raymond of Seattle told NBC News. But when I get up to look around, nothing's amiss and everything's quiet. You see, the symptoms of exploding head syndrome are very, they vary from person to person, of course they do, but there's usually little or no physical pain associated with the condition, according to the American Sleep Association, that's the ASA. Some people describe bright flashes of light accompanying with the loud sounds. You know, anxiety and increased heart rate and shortness of breath are also common after the loud noise. So you're kind of panting and hyperventilating. Okay, it's a provocative and understudied phenomenon. Brian Sharpless, a professor of psychology at Washington State University, said in a statement, "I've worked with some individuals who have it 7 times a night, so it can lead to bad clinical consequences as well." For obvious reasons, exploding head syndrome can interfere with sleep. Some people start to become anxious when they go into their bedroom or when they try to go to sleep, Sharpless said. Daytime sleepiness can be another problem. Stress and exploding head syndrome, few sufferers hear the noise in only one ear, while others hear it in both ears. In other cases, the sound seems to come from inside the patient's own head. Thus, the condition's name. Most researchers find that exploding head syndrome often occurs in people who are dealing with high levels of stress and physical or mental fatigue. It affects both men and women, though the condition appears more commonly in women and among people 50 years and older, though it's also been reported in some children. Because there's been little research into the condition, nobody is certain what causes exploding head syndrome. Some experts have speculated that it's related to minor seizures in the brain's temporal lobe. Others suggest it might be related to hearing disorders. Interesting. It goes on to say some more things. You know.
Did you know about the exploding head syndrome?
I'm sorry, my head just exploded.
I understand. You heard a loud clap.
I did.
Byron.
I didn't hear the loud
clap. It's
cloud.
A disturbing story, I think.
It was inside my head. That's why you didn't hear it.
I'm sorry, I did not hear it. I did not hear that loud clap.
You did not hear that loud clap.
No.
Okay, now, Mr. Guest, you have another story, don't you?
I don't.
No?
No.
Oh, here, I got a great one for you. Here you go.
Like that. By the way, there is no cure for the exploding head syndrome. They got meds for it, though.
Of course they do.
You know, that's the other half of the story.
Oh, and they're not generic.
No. These are very specific.
Oh, that's probably 150 pill.
Yeah, with some serious side effects.
Oh, I bet. Probably some other stuff starts exploding.
Yeah.
To distract you from the head exploding.
Thank you.
Nice. Thank
you. Okay.
Wait a minute, stop. I just heard that clap.
Byron.
So I'm sorry.
You can't help yourself.
So we got a hand clap, yes. Ass clap.
Go ahead.
Oh, mercy. Oh, my goodness. I find this headline disturbing. Facebook post leads to witch hunt. Mm-hmm. Tragedy in Brazil.
Wow.
Wow, my species really, really disappoints me.
Mm-hmm.
A woman suspected of being a witch. Is there a dateline on this story? Oh, my goodness, it is May 2014. Oh, I kind of thought maybe we had hopped in the time machine, popped on back to Salem.
Yep. And then I have some special witch info for you. Go ahead.
Do you really?
Yes, I do.
If it doesn't break down to Ravenclaw, Hufflepuff, Slytherin, or Gryffindor, I don't think I really want to hear it.
Yeah, you do, believe me. Go ahead, let's hear the story.
A woman suspected of being a witch was beaten by a mob and died last week in Guadalajara. No.
No?
Guarujá, Brazil.
Just say Brazil.
Yeah, I'm going to say Brazil. Near the country's largest city, Sao Paulo. The attack was prompted by suspicions the woman was involved in a kidnapping in the area, following a Facebook post by a local news outlet. According to a report...
What was the Facebook post?
She's
a witch.
Yeah, right? Housewife Fabian Maria de Jesus, 33, died last Monday after being beaten by a group of people 2 days before. The report said the lynching was motivated by suspicion that Fabian was connected to a child's abduction in the region thought to be linked to black magic rituals. According to military police, however, there is no indication that she had committed such a crime. A video of the brutal attack shows a crowd gathered around the bound and unconscious woman. An attacker grabs Jesus by her hair and slams her head into the ground. Then another person on a bicycle ties one of her hands with a rope and drags her as the crowd cheers and throws trash at the dying woman.
That's not nice.
Police are investigating and several people have been arrested in connection with the incident.
They should have been dying.
Shall I continue?
That's brutal.
According to the Folha de São Paulo report, the attack was sparked by a warning shared through social media. The newspaper reported that the Facebook page for a local tabloid-style news outlet spread an alert claiming that a woman had been seen abducting children, and many believed her motivation was witchcraft. A sketch of the woman, the news outlet claimed, was a child abductor, was included with the alert and resembled the victim. Administrators for the Facebook page have since released a statement denying responsibility for the attack and stating that the page had merely passed along the unfounded rumors as a public service and never claimed the child abduction rumor was true.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, no, there's culpability here.
Yeah, somewhere along the line. So, yeah.
Well, we printed it. We never said it was true.
Okay.
Wow. All right, there's more. Under the subheadline, organ theft rumors. Witchcraft and black magic rituals are often assumed to involve human sacrifice, repeatedly that of innocents, especially that of innocents such as children and virgins. Well, those are a lot harder to find. Using blood or organs for spells and rituals. Rumors of organ theft are not uncommon in Brazil. Anthropologist Nancy Sherper Hughes, who has studied organ theft rumors, noted that in many poor areas of the world, such as the slums surrounding Brazil's major cities, residents sometimes avoid treatment in public hospitals out of fear that their organs may be taken. Really?
It's pretty bad.
Who wants poor people organs? Too much fat?
I don't know, man.
Listen, when you don't have one that works, you'll take it from whoever you can.
That's true. My copay doesn't cover it, but I take you at your word. In the book Organ Theft Legends, University Press of Mississippi, 2005.
Wow, that's a phrase you don't hear every day. Organ Theft Legends.
Organ.
Part one.
Yeah, what is this? A select group
of... The spleen.
Yes, we steal.
See, that's where you're going, wow? I'm going at wow at the University Press of Mississippi.
Whoa.
Sorry.
Another Tuskegee experiment. Oh, man. Cece?
Go ahead, Mr.
Okay, the author describes rumors and urban legends spread throughout Brazil of, quote, the abduction and mutilation of young and healthy shantytown residents, especially children, who are eyed greedily for their body parts, especially eyes, heart, lungs, and liver.
Who's making this soup?
The children would be nabbed and shoved into trunks of vans. Some were murdered and mutilated for their organs, and the discarded bodies were found by the side of the road or were tossed aside outside the walls of municipal cemeteries.
This is ugly.
It's very ugly. Sometimes the rumors claim that the organs were sold for transplant in rich foreigners' children. Other times, as this recent case in Guarujá, the organs are said to be used in witchcraft. These rumors also circulate in some parts of Africa, where albinos have been hacked to death because of a popular belief that their body parts contain powerful magical properties.
Wow. Powerful magical properties of an albino. You don't like the guy.
Do I even need to start talking about the danger of...
Rumor?
No, not rumor. Of magical thinking in the human species in this day and age. That there is harm in it.
Magical thinking. You did go down Harry Potter Road, didn't you?
I did, but at least I know that's a myth.
Yes.
or a story, a fictional story, I should say. These people are killing people. I didn't kill anybody because I'm Ravenclaw.
Yeah, I mean, that's,
I'm just saying.
Really heavy duty.
Moving on. Okay. A 2009 Red Cross report titled Through Albino Eyes found that hundreds of people have been killed.
Through albino eyes.
Yes. Killed under the unfounded belief of magic being tied to their bodies, and up to 10,000 African albinos live in hiding, fear of being attacked for their body parts.
Whoa.
While many people think of witch hunts.
Albinos living in hiding.
Yeah. Kind of hard, isn't it?
Wow. There's just so many stories right there.
Mm.
That's a documentary, actually.
It probably is. While many people think of witch hunts as relics of the distant and superstitious past, belief in magic is widespread throughout the world. Magical thinking, such as attributing ordinary events and random coincidences to supernatural influence, is common. Human brains are hardwired to seek cause and effect patterns in the world, even when they don't exist. When something good happens, we often attribute it to prayer, good luck, or superstition.
Not to mention horoscope.
Mm-hmm. Such as carrying a lucky penny. When something bad happens, we blame others who we believe have cursed us. When wild rumors are given credence through social media and are accepted without question or evidence, the results can be tragic. Something to keep in mind the next time you share, like, or tweet a sensational news item warning of a threat.
Do you believe in magic, Mike?
Well, the movie was actually somewhat decent.
Now, Mr. Guest, do you believe in magic?
No.
Okay. Hey, Lance, you believe in magic?
No.
Okay, that's three no's, Mike. You didn't give an answer.
That's because there are certain things that I see as magic.
True.
Like
a subjective term.
CDs, MP3s. You just press a button and there's music. That's magic.
That's magic.
That could be considered magic.
Okay.
If I came from 100 years ago, that'd be magic.
So we have three that don't
magic
and
is
one that
in my
does
opinion,
believe.
Magic is all a matter of perspective. But I have six. I'm only going to give you three of them. Six unfounded myths about witches.
Hmm.
I give this to the mystery guest.
Oh, thank you.
The witch debunk.
Unfounded.
Yeah, I'm only going to name three. I only printed out three.
Okay.
These are all things that people believe about witches that
these are
not true.
Okay. The first thing is that witches are evil.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. A witch is not. You know how many times I've seen Wizard of Oz? You can't tell me a witch is not evil.
Who is a good witch and is a bad witch?
Oh, that's right.
Remember, Glinda the Good Witch?
But they were witches.
But you're making it synonymous with evil.
You're making it synonymous with evil.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
Said
yes,
they were
you did. If I had a witch here right now, she'd
I'd
slap
be scared
you.
Out of my witches.
See? Go ahead. Go ahead, Mr. Yes.
Would you like
Pay
me?
Pay no attention to the man next to you.
The negative connotations of witchcraft have led its followers to stop referring to themselves as witches and go by Wiccans. Instead, according to Wicca A to Z by Citadel Press, Wicca opposes the use of negative, harmful magic and discourages people from hurting others physically or emotionally, according to Wicca for Life. Wiccans believe in the ethical guideline called the Threefold Law, which states that whenever a person wishes upon someone else, returns to them three times over, according to Wiccan spirituality.
Okay.
I'm also put in mind, isn't it Isaac Asimov's Three Laws of Robotics?
There are three laws of robotics, but they're not, you know, perpendicular.
You mean parallel or pertinent or okay, moving on. The second myth is that Wicca is an ancient religion. Although it's based on ancient beliefs, including aspects of paganism and nature-based spirituality, Wicca is founded by anthropologist Gerald Gardner in the early 1950s, according to Magico-Religious Groups and Ritualistic Activities, published by CRC Press 2008. Wicca is a new religion that combines surviving folk traditions and more modern elements. It is loosely based on Western European pagan rites and rituals that have been performed for centuries before, during, and after the time of Jesus, such as a reverence of nature, observance of the cycle of the seasons, celebration of harvest, and doing magic, according to Wicca for Beginners.
I dated a Wiccan.
Of course you did. Did you let her drive when she was pregnant?
Rosemary's Baby.
It didn't do well, by the way. So, all right, what's the final myth about witches?
Well, we had with that the myth number one is that witches are evil. Myth number two is that Wicca is an ancient religion. And rounding out number three is that Wicca isn't a real religion. Wicca is recognized by the United States government as an official religion, with the observance of Wiccan holidays varying from state to state. Oh, I wonder how Arizona weighs in. For example, the New Jersey Department of Education recognizes 8 Wiccan holidays, including Maybon, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly, Wicca Sisters, which marks the beginning of autumn and is celebrated September 23rd, and excuses Wiccan children from attending school on those days. I can't
Crazy
go to...
I'm there, Wicca Sisters.
I'm calling in Wiccan.
Dot
can't
com.
Go to work.
There it is. You're calling in Wiccan?
I'm calling in Wiccan.
I'm Wiccan. I can't go to work today.
Yeah.
And don't make me put a spell on you.
Yes.
Oh, if only we had that song right now.
Interesting story. Indeed. Yeah.
I despair for my species.
Oh, okay.
You're tuned to Listener Sponsored Radio. The music you're listening to is what we call Sexy TGM. And you can get it. All you have to do is call 212-209-2950. Make a pledge, $35. You get over 50 tracks.
We want to thank you for making that pledge. I think we had a couple people that made a pledge.
Yes, they did.
All right. Thank you so very much. 212-209-2950. Pick up the phone. Tell them that you want the 50, over the 50 cut CD, DGM. No,
yeah, just say sexy DGM.
Sexy DGM. Okay? $35 just for that. $100 for the DGM, sexy DGM, and the book, Men Are Pigs. Ron Sturgeon.
And that's a good thing.
And that's a good thing. That's
yes.
Men Are Pigs. And that's a good thing.
You need to get this because it's 9 secrets and 7 strategies to get more women, steamier sex, and better relationships.
Steamier sex.
Right. You know, especially, you know, because global warming isn't affecting us. So. It just occurred to me, did you not play any Ike Turner?
I did not play any Ike Turner, no. But there is Ike Turner on there, but I did not play any.
Okay.
Are you an Ike Turner fan?
I know, I just figured it would go with the Men Are Pigs theme.
The Men Are Pigs, yes. I could have played Ike Turner. Well, actually, I played Tina Turner. I have Tina Turner now. But you are tuned to Listener Sponsored Radio, WBAI 99.5 FM. The last track you heard from was from a group called Noir Chocolate.
Yes.
I'm sorry, that was from an album called Noir Child. The group is called Alpha.
Alpha.
Alpha, and there was a track called Slim. And here's the deal. You tomorrow on the Facebook, we're going to have a complete playlist from the Sexy DGM with links so you can find out more about the artist, courtesy of Lance. And if you call now and you make a pledge and you get the receipt number, just email me at lifeislikesciencefiction@gmail.com and I will send it to you. You can have your thing tomorrow, okay? I broke it up into a couple CDs here, but it's over 50 tracks. 212-209-2950. If you're enjoying this music, if you say, wow, what is that? What the hell is that? Let me
Sexy DGM.
Sexy DGM.
Yes. Yes.
It's from May 5th.
Yes.
Okay? And I want you to read that because then I have a story that's an update to that story. Okay. And this story, if this isn't scary enough to make you think about the world, the future, what we've done, what we're not doing, and Kevin Costner, you tell me.
Yes. Okay. Science Daily. Uncontrollable ice melt. Uncorking East Antarctica could yield unstoppable sea level rise simultaneous shows. Or some simulations show. See, they did some simulations because recently a huge chunk broke off. This is May 5th, 2014. Potsdam Institute for Climate Impact Research. The melting of a rather small ice volume on East Antarctica's shore could trigger a persistent ice discharge into the ocean, resulting in unstoppable sea level rise for thousands of years to come. This is shown in a study now published in the Nature Climate Change by scientists from the Potsdam Institute for Climate Impact Research. Findings are based on computer simulations of the Antarctic ice flow using improved data of the ground profile underneath the ice sheet. Okay, so they're not only taking shots from up above, they're taking shots from
down below.
Down below. East Antarctica's Wilkes Basin is like a bottle on a slant, says lead author Matthias Mengel. Once uncorked, it empties out. The basin is the largest region of marine ice on rocky ground in East Antarctica. Currently, a rim of ice at the coast holds the ice behind in place. So one piece of block of ice is holding another piece. Okay, like a cork holding back the content of a bottle.
Is that a little bit scary?
Because behind it is like...
Exactly.
Once that dam breaks, exactly. It's like, oh, look out, Louise.
Exactly.
So, yes, while the air over Antarctica remains cold, warming oceans can cause ice loss on the coast. Ice melting could make the relatively small cork disappear once lost. This would trigger a long-term sea level rise of 300 to 400 centimeters. The full sea level rise would ultimately be up to 80 times bigger than the initial melting of ice cork. So what's at stake is here some serious global warming.
Yes, now that's what they're talking about on the 5th, Byron.
Yes, now I know what you're going to tell me.
You want to know what I'm going to tell you. This is the 12th. Now this is the 12th. Latest news.
The latest news is that the young man from Florida, who is the GOP Tea Party, who is in denial of global warming, is now switching to tell you, because he's running for president, Rubio,
it's happening.
It's happening.
Yes. Vote for me. It's happening. Yes.
I'm flip-flopping here, folks.
Mr. Guest.
Yeah.
You're frowning. Any thoughts on the cork? No. The ice cork.
No.
The ice cork. No thoughts on the ice cork.
I'm not touching the cork.
Okay.
All right.
How about this? This is from the same publication, yes. Science Daily. This is from May 12th. The heading, West Antarctic Glacier Lost Appears Unstoppable.
Whoa.
A new study by researchers at NASA and the University of California, California Irvine find a rapidly melting section of the West Antarctic ice sheet appears to be in an irreversible state of decline, with nothing to stop the glaciers in this area from melting into the sea. The study presents multiple lines of evidence incorporating 40 years of observations that indicate that glaciers in the Admundsen Sea sector of West Antarctica have passed the point of no return. According to glaciologist and lead author Eric Rignot of the UC Irvine and NASA Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California, the new study has been accepted for publication by the Journal of Geophysical Research Letters. These glaciers already contribute significantly to sea level rise, releasing almost as much ice into the ocean annually as the entire Greenland ice sheet.
Wow.
They contain enough ice to raise global sea level by 4 feet and are melting faster than most scientists had expected. Rignot said these findings will require an upward revision to current predictions of sea level rise.
You know, they did discover...
Now, this just sounds like the beginning of, an Irwin Allen movie. The sector will be a major contributor to sea level rise in the decades and centuries to come. A conservative estimate is it could take several centuries for all the ice to flow into the sea. Now, that's the conservative estimate, okay? Because they don't want to talk about the real estimate. Three major lines of evidence point to the glacier's eventual demise. The changes in their flow speeds, how much of each glacier floats on seawater, and the slope of the terrain they're flowing over, and its depth below sea level. In a paper in April, Rignot's research team discussed the steadily increasing flow speeds. That's the story you just read.
Yes.
Glaciers flow out from the land to the ocean, with their leading edges afloat on the seawater. The point at which a glacier when it first loses contact with land is called grounding line. Nearly all glacier melts occur on the underside of the glacier beyond the grounding line on the section floating in the seawater. So it hasn't, if the temperature, whatever, that may have caused it to break off, but then the ocean gets to do its work, right. And there it is.
Yeah,
it says, team used radar observations captured between 1992 and 2011 by the European Earth Remote Sensing Satellites to map grounding lines retreat inland. The satellites use a technique called radar interferometry, which enables scientists to measure very precisely, within less than a quarter of an inch, how much rise and fall vertically with changes in the tide.
Wow.
So, because the importance of part of this is NASA's Operation IceBridge will continue to monitor the evolution closely during this year's Antarctica deployment, which begins in October. IceBridge uses a specialized fleet of research aircraft carrying the most sophisticated suite of science instruments ever assembled to characterize changes in thickness of glaciers, ice sheets, and sea ice.
Do you know that
we're past the point of no return and 4 feet.
Did you know that they discovered a pyramid in an Antarctica?
No, but yes. It doesn't surprise me.
Yes, they did.
It doesn't surprise me.
Wasn't that an episode on Stargate SG-1?
Probably. Like, they came through.
Right, they came through. And like, what is this? Oh, we're in an ice pyramid.
Yes, I think.
Let's disturb the local people with no prime directive.
Stop. And they discovered genetic proof that there were palm trees.
That there were palm trees.
I'm sorry.
In the Antarctic. Of course. I mean, listen, anybody who's read any science fiction novels knows this to be true.
Yeah.
I knew it.
Really?
This is true. You know the world. You understand the world through science fiction. Science fiction teaches us about the real world. Magic.
Say it, Reverend.
The communicator was magic at one time. Now we have cell phones.
Lance, do you believe in magic? I think we asked you this.
Yes. Byron's trying to get somebody on his side because Byron obviously believes in magic. And he thinks magic's running his life right now.
Hashtag Ravenclaw.
Hey. See? You like science. Okay. There you heard it first.
Love it. Have we tried plugging in some fans up there at the Arctic? just to cool things down a bit.
Aha! Of course, why not?
I mean, I'll leave my freezer door open if that'll help.
The big chill.
It's not just a movie.
No, not just a movie.
Well, I want to thank those who have called and pledged.
Yes, we really do appreciate it.
Yes, thank you, calling pledgers.
I'm going to read love. Some names out loud.
We still have a few minutes left. 212-209-2950. You, too, can make a pledge. For $35, you get the Sexy DGM. That's $35, Sexy DGM. For $100, you get the book, Men Are Pigs, by Ron Sturgeon. $100 for both the book and the DGM, Sexy DGM. Two for $100. It's a great deal. Anybody you would go, be far more.
Yeah, I'm looking for, I think her name is Jill. Jill's.
Yes, Jill.
Pledge. She said she made a pledge. I'm looking for a pledge.
All right, thank you, Jill, for showing us the love. We really appreciate it.
And you are tuned to Listener Sponsored Radio, WBAI. The time has gone by very fast, believe it or not. We've been here on the air here now for 2 hours and 50 minutes.
Yes.
Okay. You can like us on Facebook. NITESHIFT. You can visit us on the web at lifeislikesciencefiction.com. You can email us, lifeislikesciencefiction@gmail.com. Or you can follow us on Twitter, NITESHIFTZ. That's right, follow us on Twitter. Mystery guest, do you want to give out any information that reveals yourself? Do you want people to follow you anywhere on any
of your sites? Of course, of course. I'm very easy to find at veryfunnylady.com.
Very funny lady. There it is. That's all you need to know.
Yep.
Veryfunnylady.com. And Byron?
Yo.
Are you on Facebook too?
Yes, I am.
Are you want? Do you want more friends?
Yes.
I've got thousands of friends.
Yes, yes. I'm Byron C. Saunders.
Byron C. Saunders.
And I have BCS experience.
Byron has his own radio show.
History, arts, culture, politics, and review and discussion. That's my group page.
That's you got a group page?
I have a group page.
Ooh, Byron, look at you.
The BCS experience.
Yeah, that's Byron's initials. Yes. Just keep that in mind, ladies and gentlemen.
The BCS experience. And BCS come on, experience. Join the page because we got a lot of great stories, history, arts, culture, politics, and review and discussion.
There it is. Mr. Guest.
Hello.
Are you going to attend? Ask him how come he hasn't had you on the show yet.
We have discussed it for a second. Really,
you have to experience the BCS.
Yeah. I would like to, avail myself of the experience.
Of the BCS.
I was thinking about your perfect word of the day series.
Aww.
And seeing how I could somehow
work
that into the show.
You're going to work a word in every Wednesday?
A word every, yeah.
Look at you. Trying to pilfer my mystery guest. I see you.
You seem to be a popular guest.
Got to know. You do a multiple amount of shows.
I do.
You know, she's on Neil Tyson's radio show. Did you know that?
Goodness.
Yep, he has a show called, a podcast called Star Talk Radio. I'm one of the guest co-hosts on that.
Look at that, Byron. I'm bringing quality up in here.
Yes.
I also do a weekly podcast called Skeptile.
Skeptile.
See that, Byron? She gets around.
I do.
Anyway, so that's my Facebook social network.
We understand, Byron.
You know.
Byron C. Saunders?
Byron C. Saunders. I have Byron Saunders, but Byron C. Saunders.
You have three Facebook pages?
Two.
Three.
Three.
Three. Two.
Wow.
Three.
He needs a social media manager now.
Clearly.
I do.
No, he is his own social media manager.
I really do need a manager.
He's an animal. He never sleeps.
Him and Citibank.
Yeah, that's right. He's like Citibank. He never sleeps. And you're tuned. And keep in mind, when we say listener sponsored, you're the listener.
Yes.
And sponsoring is pledging, the same thing. You can call 212-209-2950, $35. You can get this music that you're listening to. This is track number 14. This is, and I'm looking at yours and not mine. This is your list. Okay? Did you print this one out? That's yours? This is mine. Okay, there it is. Okay. Track 14. Okay, this is, no, it's not.
Sigh.
No, this is not. This is DGM. It is DGM.
Yeah, so
but neither of these are. Oh, okay, here we go.
Okay.
Yeah, this is the High Fidelity Dub Sessions. This is Dizon and Kamian. It's a track called AAA.
Okay. 12-step like, program.
I've sat for a long time trying to figure out what he's saying. Sounds like he's saying that I can't really say her in the ear. That's what it sounds like he's saying.
It's kind of in that same category as Louie Louie.
Yeah.
What is he really saying?
I don't know.
Oh, baby.
Sound like he's talking about. I can't really say it. Can I say it?
No, you can't.
No, you can't.
Sound like a certain type of person with chiggers. What are chiggers anyway, Brian?
Chiggers are little red insects that get into your flesh, usually from crawling around.
Yeah,
usually from crawling around on moss covered wood. And sometimes
who crawls around on moss covered wood?
Don't judge.
I'm sorry.
Chiggers, and sometimes that little red.
Well, you deserve to get chiggers if you're crawling around on moss covered wood.
And we're blaming the victim.
I'm sorry.
See, right? Mother Nature. Don't mess with Mother Nature.
Okay. Well, this is your last chance. You've got 5 minutes left. We're going to compress time. 212-209-2950. Make your pledge. $35. You can get the music that you're listening to, that hopefully you're enjoying, and you want for yourself. Mystery guest.
Hello.
And you gave us your last story, didn't you?
I did.
I had one last story, too, didn't I? Byron, was that your last story?
Yes, sir. Basically, with the floating...
They're unstoppable, Byron.
Yes, they
are. It's unstoppable. It's over.
Is it really?
It's over, Rambo.
Gone past the equinox.
Point of no return. You know, the sea level is going to rise by 4 feet.
Correct.
And we don't know how fast that's going to happen, but we know it's going to be 4 feet. It could happen in the next 4 years.
And
then what?
The people who are most in trouble are the short people who were expected
people like
to
us
live
who
long.
Live on a coastal area.
Yes.
New York is a coastal area, just so you know. Especially Manhattan.
Yes.
Do you want to stay here, Byron? Oh, that's right. Staten Island's gone. It's over.
It's over.
Forget it. It's over, Rambo.
Toast.
There'll be something sticking out. And they said, there was once a great city under the water. What's that, Byron?
I didn't say anything.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
I heard you, Byron.
No, you didn't.
You know, yes.
So, yes, with all the ice that's coming.
The ice is coming.
Yes, the ice man coming.
The ice
is about...
Is going to break.
Is break. I still think and ask the question... Who put the pyramid in Antarctica? Okay.
The same people who built the pyramid.
And I literally thought he was going to say, who put the bop in the bop, shabop, shabop. Is that what I was sensing?
It crossed my mind.
So I felt it.
You are psychic.
There it is.
Mystery guest.
We're going to end
so
on this
is
track.
Magic.
This track is for Lance. What's that?
There is magic.
There is magic. That's correct, Byron.
In a young girl's heart.
I do believe in spooks.
In a young girl's heart.
I believe children are our future.
I do.
You know what I have here, Byron?
Spooks.
Just from
here.
Those who should pledge just because of Night Shift. We've had all these interesting shows. We have. You remember when I interviewed Lee Majors? Were you on that show?
I had the book.
Did you know I interviewed Lee Majors?
I'm not surprised. I didn't know, but I'm not surprised.
Yes, but I was the biggest $6 Million Man fan there is when I was a kid. You have no idea.
Yeah.
So I got
we can build him.
Yes, I can.
Bigger.
You
stronger.
Know what I recently found every couple of years I used to do the $6 Million Man theme. I would do like a version of it. And for years I'd do different orchestrations and say, all right, shut up.
You need help. Yeah.
I've came across one. I haven't done one since 2009.
Oh well dude, you're
and
due.
I tried to put it on the list but I couldn't burn it through, so I'll have to bring it another week.
Is he still with us?
Yes.
Invite him in.
Who?
Unless there's a restraining order.
Well, I have Lee Majors. I should replay my interview and then play my various versions of the $6 Million Man theme.
Oh, I'm so afraid. Is there a house music version?
Of course. Are you kidding?
What?
Yes. I break it down. I have a whole thing I do. And then I have sound bites from the thing. We can rebuild them. We can rebuild. You know, I just have a whole
storyline.
I do.
I wouldn't lead with this on your eHarmony profile.
All right, I won't. Does $6 Million Man theme variations.
Right. No. And a hell of a Sidney Poitier.
That's it, a hell of a Sidney Poitier. I could do James Mason, too. But nobody knows who he is anymore.
I do.
I'm out.
And you're tuned to listener-sponsored radio, WBAI 99.5 FM. This has been Night Shift. Thank you, Mr. Guest. Thank you, Byron.
You're welcome.
I've enjoyed it thoroughly.
And thank you, Lance.
Yeah, Lance. Welcome aboard, Lance.
Yes, welcome.
Yeah, man.
Welcome to the Madhouse. You only can rescue
me. Don't forget to follow us and like us on Facebook.
One more play.
212-209-2950.
There we go. 30-